Blog Talk Radio.
Mickey Thompson from Bowman's Tires carries all the specialty tires you need for street, strip, track, and off-road cars. They pride themselves on providing you with the best performance tires in the world. Mickey Thompson Performance Tires are available at a number of retail locations, such as Performance Plus, Jags, and McCormick Racing. For more information, log on to www.mickeythompsontires.com. Once again, www.mickeythompsontires.com. Are you new to social networking? Well, Grudge Inc. has got a new site coming soon. Grudgebook will allow you to catch up and lock in with other grudge racers, find out about all the latest events, view the latest photos, create your own blogs, and so much more. In 2013, Grudge Inc. takes on the social networks. So get ready to register and lock in. Grudge Inc. Grudgebook. Grudge Inc. is taking it to another level. Coming in 2013, all of your auto performance needs can be found in one location. Grudge Inc. will be launching an online auto parts store catering specifically to your auto performance needs. Being available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Grudge Inc.'s Grudge Store wants to be your number one online shop site. 2013, get ready for Grudge Inc.'s Grudge Store. More details to follow soon.
Welcome Saturday night, Grudge Inc. In the jungle. I love that song. Let me kill it. Gives a little badonkadonk delicious, but what's going on, everybody? Big week in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It's drag week there. I know this is going to open up a whole can of worms when we start discussing it. But I got to, because that's my job and that's what I do. How do you have a drag week in your own backyard and you don't show? That's the topic for tonight. How to be a bitch and let the country see it. That's just my take. I just can't believe that they didn't show. But listen to this stat. Larry Larson, kudos to you, my brother. He went 616 at 219 mile an hour in a street legal Sonoma. How you like that? The fastest car out there. I guess it's safe to say that is the fastest street car in the country. Here's the kicker. He threw the bags out before the finish line. In normal people terms, he pulled the parachutes before he even got to the finish line. So I'm sure that would have been up around 220-ish, maybe a little more. What a hell of a run, man. That thing left like a bullet out of a gun. It was unbelievable. Very, very impressed with that, Sonoma. On the other hand, guess who didn't make the program? Now, I don't know where they live. or where they're from. But how do you have a car like that and not race against your peers? I just, pussies, sorry. You got the bat and Lutz. Lutz ran a number. I mean, these guys are just unbelievable. I like the video I saw of Lutz driving down the road with his trailer behind the car. And one guy in a 40 wheelies had all this like little toolbox stuff on his wheelie bars, strapped between his wheelie bars. I love shit like that, man. That's just hysterical. But yeah, I'm a little discouraged about all the people out in Tulsa and the people who claim to be the fastest in the country were no-shows. If you got a take, you want to talk about that issue, call in, hit the one button. We got the board lit up, and we'll get after this. We got some other breaking news, but I got to wait for my boy Tyson to come in. Got to bring him in because I told him we wouldn't start without him, but never late is exactly that. Always late. Good thing I don't pay him, man. I have to pay him like in Scooby Snacks or something like that just because we can. And you know what? There's another issue out there. When I heard about it, I don't know too much about it. If anybody knows about it, shoot me a message or hit me up. But evidently, something happened in New York with Small Block PD, and he raced somebody for a belt, and the car that PD raced him with was a class car. Now here's my thoughts on this, and this is where I'm siding with Small Block PD on this. When they got to the race, money's locked up. They look at both cars. Shouldn't you have said something before you even lined up and not when you lost? And I don't remember who it was that he raced, but now they want the belt back because they said it was an illegal race because it was a class car. And the rule is grudge racers don't race class cars. I've yet to find that rule book. I've been searching online, Googled it, nothing. So, is Small Block PD the belt holder, the title holder? I think he is. There's guys who class race and grudge race with the same cars. I'm pretty sure Big Low does. And I'm pretty sure Big Low has got a belt or raced for a belt or had a belt. So what I heard was happening is that they're going to make up another belt and the guy who lost the race is going to be that champion. Is that how we work? You get beat. Well, you're not the real champion I am, so I'll get another belt made. Race them back for it. I think that's the right thing to do. It's something that grudge racing, street racing, stipulations. What happened to the lineup and go? You know, out here in Southern California, you know, we street race a lot. And the only race or the only rule is chase is a race. Now I've been going to the street races since I was 16. it was the rule then, and I'm going to be 53, and it's, from what I understand, it's still the rule now. Chase is a race. There's no other rules. There's no rule books. There's no cheating. There's no... It just is what it is. And I'm not too happy, or I'm not, I shouldn't say happy, I'm disappointed. If you locked up a race, and you see the car you're racing, the car's there, don't you feel at that moment, say, hey, wait a minute, I've seen this car on the track. This car showed its times. I don't want to race. I think it's at that point, something has to say, that's where your last chance is. Now, I know Small Block PD has a few cars in his stable. I don't know him personally outside of YouTube videos. But the guy, I think he's on the up and up. I don't think he's a swindler or anything like that. The car's there. You can see it as plain as day. So, I just wanna see if there's any, I mean, if I'm wrong. And, you know, I mean, I could be, there could be more to this story that I don't know. If anything's possible, but I just sort of trying to figure out what the ground rules are on this. So we're going to go to the phones right now. Chris, is that you, Chris? Maybe not. Let's try this one. 561-0102. Your mic's open. Who's this?
How you doing? It's Zeke.
Hey, what's going on, Zeke?
How you doing?
Good, man. How's everything going?
Oh, man. Wonderful. Wonderful.
Well, have you been listening to what I've been chirping about?
Yeah, I have, and I have a problem with it because I feel as a country that we're at a point now where everybody gets a trophy, win or lose. That's never been street racing.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
I just think when you know, back when I was street racing, we had this little Monza, and we used to pick on big tire chassis cars on the street. Car only ran 11-18. With spray. That's the best the car ever went at the track. But we'd get 4, 5, 6 in the hit. And we used to pick on big tire cars. So it's not like, if you're making a deal, if you're making a bet, well, you're there. You're either going to back out or you're not. So this is not organized racing. So, you know, I think it's bullshit is what I think it is.
I think that in grudge racing, they got all these belts, and there's certain champions in certain areas where you can challenge somebody for that belt. So, if you're holding the belt and I come and challenge you and I tell you what I have and I get down to wherever we're going to do this race and you see my car and I see your car and we agree to the race and I win, now you're going to come at me and say that's an illegal car because it's a class car? That's where I'm getting confused at. You chose to race the class car.
And I'm agreement with that, man. If you choose to race the car, it's a race. You have lined up, the light has went on, and it's on. It's on from that point. You know, so I just, like I said, I've been out of street racing for a while, and I'm actually got a hook on a grudge car now. I want to do a little bit of grudge racing. So I got a hook on a grudge car that nobody has seen in the last 9 years. So, yeah, it's got me curious. Yeah, my big tire car is fun, but the last show, man, somebody wrote a comment on one of the forums about me not being a racer and I should keep my mouth shut. So I've had a hook on this car for a while.
Wait. Was this on the discussion group?
Oh, yeah.
I think I read it. I can't think. I think I read it, though.
I'm not saying names. But that bitch can come get some. He can come get some of the big tire car. We'll go out to a racetrack and we will fucking bracket race rental cars. I'll show them what a racer I'm not. So,
you know what? Go on the message board and hit them up and tell them to call in. Give them the number to call in. We'll bring them in right now. We'll get them.
Yeah.
There's only 1,100 people listening to the show right now, so bring them in.
Yeah. All right. I thought that was funny. In all my years, I've never been not called a racer. And to not be called a racer, come get you some. I'm here.
That's right. So. Tyson, you there, brother?
Yes, sir. What's happening, KO? What's going on, people?
Well, Tyson, we got a subject going on right now. It's got to do with Small Block Petey, and maybe you know who he raced for a belt.
He ran Jolly Rancher, didn't he?
Well, and he beat the Jolly Rancher.
Yeah.
So let me explain from this. Now this is just what I've heard. So he raced Jolly Rancher for the belt,
right.
Beat him.
Right.
And now Jolly Rancher's side saying, that's a class car. You lose. Give us the belt back.
Wow, really?
Why, if it's a class car, would you race it? And then they said it's in the rules. Now, listen, I Googled to find those rules in grudge racing, and they're not anywhere.
Right.
So... I think Small Block Petey won the race.
And that's what it is.
I think he's got the belt.
I mean,
hands
it,
down.
It is what it is. As far as I know, Small Block Petey been a grudge racer, all I know, because, you know, he had big grudge racers up here with Never Scared. They was battling who had the baddest Small Block. So, you know. I think with that belt stuff, when a person get a belt, they make their own rules up so they won't have to defend that belt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Now,
and that's what I think.
Big Low's a grudge racer.
Yeah.
But he puts his car on the track in class races, doesn't he?
Yeah, Big Low has showed his time before, and people still run him, you know?
So what's the problem? That's what my question is. What's the problem? I don't see one. I see Small Block Petey as a champ. Well, I wish I had his number, man. I'd like to get him in here.
That is what it is. You know, as far as my understanding, I've never known Small Block Petey, you know, shoot our car. Maybe his car is set up way better than Jolly Rancher, and maybe that's what they're complaining about, but hey.
It's his Mustang. It's stock suspension Mustang.
Yeah, you know. So, you know how that goes. When you have one person car set up a little bit better than the other one, oh, it's this way, it's that way. You know, it's always going to be something going on with that best stuff, because as soon as the person win it, the rules they're supposed to go with it change. You know what I mean? That's why people hold on to the belt for so long, because it seems like they make their own rules. Well, I got to run you on a belt track on a Wednesday. And, you know, it's some crazy stuff, man.
Well,
if I had a belt and I figure I'm the baddest man on 28 or 29 or big tire, however it may be. And I got the belt. I ain't got to wait. You want to run me for the belt this weekend? Let's get down, Phil. I'm going to prove you I'm the baddest motherfucker around.
Race it back.
You know, I ain't got to run. I ain't got to wait for 30 days. You want to run me for this book Saturday? Lock in some money. We there. And let's get this on. I ain't got to wait no 30 days. And we got to meet. I got to be at this track. No. Whatever track you want me to come, I'm going to come just to show you I'm the baddest motherfucker with this belt. So.
That's what I think.
But this is the problem with grudge racing over the last, you know, 6-7 years that I've noticed. When you get your ass handed to you, they argue. You know, we were supposed to run a quarter mile, we only ran 8 mile. Well, we ran 8 mile, we were supposed to run quarter mile. It is so typical, as of late. I mean, I've been out to the track, a money race, and it's an argument. You got your ass beat. Come back later and get yourself some more,
That's
but,
it.
Man, you know, when the wind light goes on, the wind light goes on.
See, and here's where all the stips start to come in. Then they start stipping racing.
Yeah.
Got to race 8 mile. You got to be in the lane at this time. You got to do that. Whatever happens, just racing right off the trailer and going.
Yeah.
As you do the street races, come off the trailer. You don't get to take any practice in. Come off the trailer and go.
I like grudge racing. And I say the same thing here in Michigan, Detroit. The fun is not there no more because it's too many buddies. Everybody teaming up with this person, teaming up this person because they don't want to run this person, so they figure, let me team up with them. And it just ain't no fun no more. If you want to race a person, they put the pot way up to the moon. Talk some ridiculous money, and it just ain't, I go to LA no ETs, man, and I just, I go because I like drag racing, I like cars, but it just ain't no fun, Don't nobody want to race, everybody want to make test passes, they want to see other people's test pass, and once
what
they
you
see
mean?
They
what
hit,
you mean?
I don't want them problems.
What you mean you like cars? How you gonna sit there and say you like cars, you don't like Vegas?
I am, my boy. Let him know, Shake. Tell him what's up.
He said, I like cars, but he don't like Vegas. Man, you ass backwards.
Hey, just to let you know, Tyson, real quick, just a little side note. My buddy, Kenny Snow, the guy I bought my Vega from, he just went 947 to 141 with his Vega wagon with a small block in it, little 350. Just saying, brother.
Yeah, they only weigh 200 pounds.
Just saying, man.
That was nuts.
What's going on, Ty?
What's up, Shaggy, man?
What's up, Tayo?
What's going on, Shake?
Who else we got going on?
We got Zeke. Down Florida way.
We
got Zeke down Florida.
I can't hear you.
We have Zeke from
Zeke
Florida. He's probably got the East Coast flip-flops on right now.
You did. Damn right. I got flip-flops on.
There we go, baby. That way, wait, hold on.
I'm gonna let you have this one because this is the second time I met you. But y'all Southern states, y'all got to cut that mess out. It's cold here in Detroit.
I won't say nothing about me standing in the yard with shorts, flip flops, and no shirt.
Okay,
Listen here, I like you, but we ain't gonna fall out over this weather now. So don't let people talk to you about now.
I'm just gonna say that I won't bring up the 94 degree weather heat we're having out here right now. I won't even bring that to the table.
Hey,
I'm gonna keep my mouth shut about it.
Hey Tyson,
I think they're double teaming us. That's what they're doing.
Tyson, Myers still open?
Huh?
It's what?
Myers still open tonight?
Yeah.
Let's go get some Florida oranges and throw it at
them. Yeah. That's exactly what I have to do.
This is kind of an East Coast, West Coast wish sandwich. Where it's hot on the East Coast and hot on the West Coast, and you wish you had some heat in the middle.
Okay.
So listen, man. Jake, since you're on the line, and I got Tyson on the line, I want to tell you real quick about what's happening down in Tulsa in Drag Week.
Okay, before you start that, let me comment on that subject y'all was talking about Petey.
Oh, go ahead.
This is what happened. When they went off on the East Coast to race, Petey Smallblock has been racing. Petey Smallblock got two or three cars. One is a grudge car. I think the other two cars is a class car. When he raced the class car, he showed up the numbers. But when he got a chance to race I don't know who this guy was, I think it was some white boy in Atlanta, he used the class car. Now, everybody that's been listening to the Grudge Inc. shows know that you can't use a class car within the first year of showing your score. You got to see
that
one
I
year before.
That rule. I couldn't find that rule anywhere. But here's the thing.
They've been talking about this rule for over a year, and because there's been other arguments about this. And when you go to Jay Bond show and you go to Dog show, you hear them always talking about you can't run a class car. If you do, you got to stay out of the scoreboard for at least a year.
Now here's my deal. Big Low runs this car. He's raced it where he's shown time. Wait a minute. That's what I'm trying to explain to you. He's been doing that. He hasn't had to sit out a year to race a grudge race. It's the same one. It's his boo.
Okay,
What I'm saying is, how come now that rule comes into play when somebody with the belt gets beat, but no one's ever, everybody races Big Low. Big Low don't back down to race nobody.
What I'm hearing and what I've seen, I don't know anything about Big Low. I met Big Low. I seen his car when we went down to House of Hook. That's all I know about Big Low. Whether he run class or not, I don't know. But they've been talking about this rule for over a year now. I've been hearing it for a long time. But look at this.
If they argue it's a class car, why did they let him in the shootout if they knew it was a class car?
Because they thought it was, see, Javon and them thought that he was running his grudge car. But when he raced the guy in Atlanta and won, other people started saying, wait a minute, that was a class car. And they said, oh, let's see the video. They showed the video, seen the class car, and they said, okay, small block Petey, you can keep the belt, but you can't, what they did was they said he cannot run another grudge until January. That's what they came up with. So they made up another belt, but small block Petey cannot run in another grudge until January.
Okay.
When you guys want to run a car that's been put on the board, now you know what it runs.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
I gotta say this real quick. And I apologize for interrupting, Zeke. Hold that thought and I'll get right back to you. So I'm gonna put this question out. If I raced my car at the track and showed my time, but I'm not a class racer, Can I still race?
No.
Why? No. You guys just said a class racer.
Mm-hmm.
That's somebody who races in an index class. See, this is what I'm saying. Too many people are changing the rules here. If you get beat, you just get beat. And if you don't like it, you should know that.
The only rule I know of was if you was a class racer and you wanted to get in grudge racing, you couldn't show your time within a year time.
Right. You've heard that,
if
too.
If you haven't showed your time within a year, you can grudge. You can get in a grudge field. But if, say, like last weekend you showed your time and you want to come to a grudge event, then you can't do it.
That was the rule. I've heard that, too.
You know what I'm saying? But from there, it done switched like 15 times. You know, I done heard them say, fuck a class car. I run a class car. You know, and so...
But here's the thing, though, Tyson. Small Block Petey just didn't build a car and come out last year. This guy's been out... I can't even tell you how long he's been around. And everybody knows him, and he knows all the heavy hitters in the game. Are you telling me when he pulled up with this car, nobody knew that that car was a class car? Nobody there knew it.
Apparently not.
I can't buy into that.
I wasn't.
And they waited till the finals. Was this a shootout?
Yeah.
And they waited till the finals. They waited till the finals. They didn't say nothing in the first round. They waited till he got the belt.
I look at it like this. It was gonna be a thing anyway because, you know, Jolly Rancher, they favored down there. He the small block king.
But he didn't raise Jolly Rancher, Tyson. It was somebody else. It wasn't Jolly Rancher.
Well, he had the small block belt, wasn't it? Jolly Rancher?
Huh?
That's the only one got the small block belt down there.
It wasn't Jolly Rancher because I was on Javon them show when they was talking about it. It was somebody else from Atlanta, from Georgia.
Yeah.
It wasn't Jolly Rancher. Because I met Jolly Rancher and I seen his car.
They got a belt too.
Oh, there's a lot of belts out there.
Yeah, they got a small block, some type of belt.
Hold on one second. Y'all go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
So here's a question I want to ask then. Now, if I race somebody for a belt, okay, now Tyson, follow me on this one.
What?
If I race you for a belt and I win, and then I go to the track next weekend, and my time gets put up. That means that I got that belt for a whole year because nobody can take it from me now. Because nobody can race me for a whole year. Is that right?
Yeah, basically. You know, it can work that way, too. But that's initially the rule was, you know what I'm saying, a class car can't get in. They couldn't show their time within a year. You know what I mean? So if you showed your time, that means you can hold on to the belt until next year. And, you know, basically, you know what I mean? It's like a catch-22. To me, they make the rules, but when the people get the belt, they make up their own rules. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, then you guys might as well just come over to my side and be bracket racers because – isn't that the whole point of grudge racing? Is a heads up or whatever you put out there, you start putting rules on it, then you start getting sanctioned. And that was that's the whole point of being a street racer and a grudge racer. You don't want to have you don't want to have to abide by rules. You don't want to have to abide by sanctions.
There's
so,
no rules. Hey, Tyson,
I got what they call King Biz on the line. He wants to straighten out this and clarify what we was talking about Zeke.
Please, Ben, straighten us out for me.
What's going on?
Yeah, y'all grown me. I ain't in the straighten out, but I can help clarify some things if y'all need some clarification of what happened. I'm not nobody's daddy, so I ain't gonna straighten nobody out. What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
What's going on, Biz?
Oh man, just sitting back, man, just chilling. Enjoying this 80 and 90 degree weather. Yeah.
Amen, brother.
Michigan guys, it's still 80 and 90 down here, baby. Hey.
You just want me to mute your mic.
Yeah.
Remember, you on my live, man, so we don't need no more that heat and temperature stuff.
What's going on, man? I know you guys are talking about Petey Small Black and the white boys. It was a misunderstanding. Grudge dropped the ball. We didn't do enough investigating which car Petey Small Black was going to run with. Petey has several cars. He has several cars he had access to. He had several cars he drive. And when they locked in to run for the belt, everybody was just happy that, you know, Petey was going to show up and the white boys was going to show up. Because if you remember, the white boys had a race on that day in Carolina at the house they called the House of Hood. And they canceled it because the race, the JB and Donye's tumor, his name, Scotty G, put on was gaining so much steam, he actually canceled his race, and Leslie Lee and the white boys came on over, and they locked in Petey Small Block.
Right.
So Petey has a car that they call the Mini, which is, I believe, orange, is his grudge car, and then the blue car, which he ran for the belt, is an X275 car. And the owner of the white boys knew what car he was running, and he knew that car had showed time, but he didn't care. He wanted some action.
Right.
So by Grudging not doing enough investigating and knowing which car was running and that PD had showed his time, they decided that PD can, you know, keep the belt, the physical belt, and because he won it fair and square, but by him being a class guy, he can't hold a grudge belt. So, you know, not to get any.
Well, Piz, can I ask a quick question?
Yeah.
So when Small Block P raced, was he on a 275?
He was on a 275. Hey, bro, I was there. Check this out. He was on a 275. He waited all day to make a shakedown, and he blew the tires off. The white boys had made two or three shakedowns and looked killer. When I stepped on the property, and I knew how fast the car went, and my money was going on Petey. But when I see he had that drag radio on and he didn't make a shakedown, I mean, when he made the shakedown, he blew the tires off. I bet all the money on the white boys. And this is getting off the subject a little bit, man. Petey laid him down. He made one shakedown, blew the tires off. Whatever adjustment he made the adjustment and came back and laid him down. But yeah, he was on 275. So what they told Petey was he won the belt racing the fan squad, but by him being a class racer short of time, he cannot. Grudge Inc. is going to put that, buy another belt. The belt he got, put it in a trophy case, is yours. We're going to buy another belt and then put it, I think it's going up this weekend at Ronnie Brown's race, the white boys versus Fletcher Cox, which is two grudge cars. I think they're running for the belt, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, Biz, let me ask this question. Didn't Big Low have a belt?
Didn't who, Big Ball?
No, Big Low.
Big Low? Big Low never had a belt. He always ran for the belt. You know,
Right. I remember that race. Now, my question is, how come he got to race a grudge car with a car that's shown time? How come the rules don't apply there, but they apply to Small Block Petey now?
You know what? It's funny, man. It's a couple cars in the grudge game kind of sort of get preferential treatment. And
that
ain't
right.
Is one of them. No cop is one of them.
and like Zabel, his car somewhere get treatment. They allow him on in Grudge events. Lowe, and there's maybe one more. Even when Stevie Jackson had the pumpkin, everybody
right.
knew he lit the board up, but people were still grudge racing. And certain people.
But you know, Biz, I'm not knocking people for wanting to race these guys, and I'm not saying that.
The rules are rules.
But if you got to have rules, you can't have treatment for some one car and not another. That ain't right.
It ain't. You're absolutely right.
So I think, in my opinion, and, you know, my opinion is just an opinion, Biz. You know me. I got run off at the mouth sometimes. But my opinion is that Petey should have the title. I think it should stay with them. Maybe not either give him the same treatment as you do everybody else, or nobody gets it. It's that simple. But then how do you take Big Low out of the game for a year? You can't do that either.
Yeah.
I say if it's a class car, I say if he's running it, and then you know it's a class car and he runs it on 275s, I make him put a set of slicks on it. 29s on there. Now you know that's going to be, it's going to run a little different. It might not even hook the way it should. You know what I mean?
I could be wrong, but I think he got an eight inch rim on that car, man.
Petey's?
It's an 8-inch or 10-inch. Yeah.
Yeah, Petey's car. Petey's car is a 275. It's a stock suspension car.
Yeah. Nicest car. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I gotta somewhat agree with you, man. You know, rules are rules. You know, and if it's like that with Petey, it should be like that with everybody. Lowe, Tony Byron, whoever. Kanye, whoever, you know, you shouldn't be able to, you know, change rules to fit certain folks.
Now, here's another thing, Biz. I'm going to throw you a curveball here. I hate to put you on the spot. I hope I'm not doing that because you know I got nothing but love for you, brother.
No, you know I'm going to answer. Oh, no. You know I'm going to answer. What's going on?
But now, here's something I'm going to throw at you. This just got a little curvish right now. Slow curve. All these shootouts, isn't that just class racing?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's class racing with no cost.
So
you got to fit a certain, you got to have a certain tire on. You can have front style suspension, front stock style suspension. It's a class race. Mm-hmm. No
don't you think that we're being kind of hypocritical and saying, you can't be a class racer because you can be a class racer, just not showing your times. In this case, you know, Petey's car did show a time, and I get that. But he's not the only one who's done this. And I just don't think that it now that came out, it should be an issue. I think now that it's out, I think now that it should be across the board now. Now you make that rule, and then that's how this is.
Well, it's
got to be for everybody, though.
To the heads, and they voted. And they voted, you know, PD, keep the belt. He's going to put it up for two. They go, two grudge cards. So that was voted on, and that's what they decided to do. So, you know, I stand behind them because they voted, and they stand behind what they voted on. Now, as for shootouts are more for the fans, so they can see, because a shootout is basically a grudge race. You got two people lining up.
It's not a grudge race. It's a class race. No, listen to what I'm saying.
The class race is all racing. What I'm saying is all racing. It's two cars trying to turn on the wind light. That's the ultimate goal of a race. Two cars getting in the beams and going down through it. Now the the main thing when we try to separate is you put once putting this money up, once picking a man, putting his money up. That, I know what you're saying about gross race and class race, but no matter what type of racing it is, it's all racing. Two cars lining up going down through there. The shootouts were for fans where, you know, a lot of gross racing happens at the end of the night. You sit there all day and back and forth all the talking. And when you know you're about to go home, then at 10, 11 o'clock before the track closes, then the gross race and try to get off. So it was almost a shootout is like a filler. They were filling it, you know, all through the day. The fans could see something, and it helps some of the guys that really don't have the type of money to lose gross racing. You know, betting $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, they can get in and just run them a couple rounds and don't put no money up, and actually help with the expenses or just win some money. So it was twofold. It was helping the shows for the promoters, and it was also a way of the promoters giving back to the actual drag race to make the show.
Yeah, giving back to the fans.
Yeah.
Right. No. Listen. I agree with all that. I'm okay with all that. But what I'm saying though, if you look at it from a rules point, all the stips that you have in there. Now, these guys that run in these shootouts, are they able to run for a belt?
Yeah.
So you can be a class racer and run for a belt.
No. If you're disabled, you can't run for the belt. But it just say your car, my car, we all truly grudge cars, we run in shootouts. Jimbo from Michigan, he can run for a belt because he done won, what, three damn shootouts up in Michigan in the last three shootouts?
Yeah.
He can run for a belt. He's a grudge car, one shootout, and he can run for a belt. I didn't know who you was talking about, like PD, Jabo, and all that.
The guidelines that you guys are talking about, it seems like you're setting them up for certain cars. Because look, when you run that shootout, you have to have certain steps on the car. The stock suspension, you said, or the front end.
No, stock front end. Yeah, you don't have to be stock suspension.
Stock front end.
Front end. Stock front end. Right. So
the minute you start putting stips on cars to run in a shootout, that's making it a class.
Just because
you don't want to call it a class, it is a class. It's a class that you can only run the shootout if you have a stock front suspension.
Okay,
that's class racing.
You calling the stips. I can play words and that's what you're saying. These are rules. So
okay.
I don't want
make
and the thing like this
way,
and the thing like this.
Way.
I don't want you to hold on. I don't want you to go get a full chassis con, slash some 28s on there, and come get in the race.
Right, you know, I agree. I agree with that. I agree 100%.
That doesn't mean that you have to run that full chassis car just because you put 28s on there, and that's my problem with what you guys are talking about. You guys are starting to make rules, and you're going to start to sanction yourself. You know, like West Palm, when we had the shootouts or the class races here, they run no times. There's no times on the board. But when you start making rules and you start making rules, that's when you might as well come over
to
my side.
So you agree with letting a full chassis car get in?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a race car. They're all race cars,
right?
Oh, no.
That was bad.
I don't think, well, if you do a full chassis car and you start to go that, then you're going to start seeing pro mods and everybody coming in. Because some of these persons get up
to
be pretty big money.
That's what you
no,
say.
No,
they are doing that. They are a dude down here called Hancock down in Alabama Park. He has a pro mod with some 315s on it, and he's a class racer, and he done set the freaking world record. He's a pro mod with 315s on. He set a damn. You can't allow that type of car to get.
I agree.
Any shootouts, you can't. You have to put some rules in place, and stock front suspension, they said any rear suspension, we don't care how your rear suspension is, if you sit on a certain tire, you can get in. So it used to be just stock suspension in the rear. Now they say any rear suspension, but you have to have a stock front suspension.
Right.
So,
but that's what I'm saying. So now you're
running
cars. Yeah, I don't have a problem with that either. All I'm saying is now the rules are to run a shootout, you have to have a stock front suspension, any suspension in the back,
mm-hmm.
but a stock,
mm-hmm.
okay? Well, those are rules. Those are class rules.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a grudge car. Because a grudge car, it just comes out. It can weigh 1,000 pounds.
You can wear 1,000 pounds with a damn stock front suspension.
Yes, you can. I agree.
How many grudge cars you know that's full chassis? Honestly, a fool's live, straight up full chassis grudge car. You could probably count them on your hand.
I was gonna say not many.
Exactly. So it's not. I mean, really, true grudge cars does have front style stock suspension.
But what I'm saying though, Biz, in order to keep pro mods out of a shootout, you have to put in rules
mm-hmm.
to say, hey, this is the kind of car we're gonna the type of cars we're gonna run.
Mm-hmm.
Now they can be on 28s or 29. Can they be on 31s or 32s? Okay,
no.
So it's got to be on 28, 29. It's got to have stock front end, and any back has stock suspension, four link, whatever.
So it can have those.
So here's where I'm going with this, Biz. In sense, that's a class. Now, a grudge car.
What kind of class is it?
Doesn't have to have any of that stuff to race.
Usually, a class has a name: Renegade, Outlaw Drag Radio. Each class usually have names.
Yeah, this class is called a shootout class. That's what it would be. Come on now. You know what, Miz? I gotta tell you, I love it when you're tired because you don't think as quick. So I'm winning this. I'm winning this battle right now, baby.
Shootout class, nah, man. That's 95% of the grudge cars in the country.
You gotta have some rules to draw the line between the two. So the pro mod guys can have their fun because they in something totally different, and then we can have our fun. You got to draw the line and set up some rules
I got you. So you just want to keep the cubic dollar out of there, and you want to put it back into the driver's hands.
And then all that. Because then the ones that small tire action is really what bringing the fans out. Big car action is not bringing the fans out. Not in most of these races that going around the country. These grudge races, the small tire action is what's bringing the fans out. Pro mods and back halves, maybe a couple of events, but majority of the events is street cars and small tire car action. It has took over.
Now, Biz, I want to say this. I'm not anti-shootouts. I love the shootouts. But I think that, let me ask this. Can you run a 275 in a shootout?
Yes, you can.
So because B's car was on the block.
Because every track, you can run a 275, but every track can hold no 275.
Right. I just think that, I don't know what the vote was or what was voted on, but I think this has to, I think it needs to be rethought out again. Just because you can't do that to one car and not another.
Well, I mean, they do.
I don't know. I know Big Lo's got the one car.
They don't let Zabel. They don't let Zabel. Zabel can't run for no belt. They give it to a boy named Lucas up in out of Indiana. They wouldn't even let him get in a shootout because his car has showed times this year, but with a different owner. He just won Cox tonight, today. He just won Cox today with this car. But his car has showed times with a different owner earlier this year. He bought the car, painted the car. Don't nobody really know if he kept the same motor. He could have bought it as a roller. But they wouldn't let him in the free $10,000 race up in Michigan this year, the August 9th race, because that car has showed a time in 2014 with a different owner. I thought that was a bunch of garbage. But people only complained because they knew the car was fast.
I don't know. I think somewhere down the line, this is going to get given a black eye.
I think the rule that's set in place is pretty much standard and universal. Where they're going with it now is if your car showed a time in this year, from January 1st, 2014, you can't get in none of these grudge, some of these grudge shootouts. When they say no class car, it's really only one promoter that allows class cars to get in his shootouts. But the most big promoters don't allow class cars in there. So, and it's being said that if you show times within this racing year, you can't get in. And that's why Lucas wasn't allowed in.
Well, let me ask you this question, Biz. If someone only has one car, now Petey has a few cars. You know, I know a lot of people, you know, Tony Bynes has a few cars. I know people have multiple cars. But if a person has only one car and they grudge race and they've raced for belts and they continue to grudge race, but the car is showing a time, wouldn't that be up to the person that they're racing?
No. If they show time, they cannot run for a grudge belt. Not for a grudge either. I mean, they got some other
belts
they want to do.
What belt did Mississippi Joe hold? Wasn't that a grudging belt? Well, that's what I'm saying. Big Low ran him, and his car's been on the clock.
Years ago, everything done came. Rules have changed.
But Biz,
that was 3 years ago.
But Biz, it's the same car, though.
Yeah, but I don't know what I'm saying is the rules that is in place today wasn't in place 3 years ago. Because they were just getting it started. You know, things were just getting started. So the rule that's in place now wasn't in place when Big Low and the Gangsta Boo was running.
You know, I can understand maybe the front end. The time thing really gets me because it'd be kind of like playing poker, man, and putting your cards on the table so your opponent sees. I just don't see what the big deal with a car that shows
this
time.
This is what the big deal is. This is what the big deal is for the grudge race. If you hustle your car and you put all this money in this car and you hustle this car and the person that you run shows time, if he runs a 470 and y'all go down through the track together and you beat him, you cannot hustle your car no more because
everybody's going to say
your car was 470 or better. So your hustle is over. So you're going to have to run cars that you know probably run 450, 460. So that's the only reason why they don't allow time runs, time guys to show time, because they want to keep your time in grudge racing is sacred. It's like the Bible. You know, it's sacred.
Right, I agree.
No,
so
no. I mean, you put a valid point. That totally changes my mind now because I understand that, yeah, you meet somebody, you're done. You're done.
Yeah, you're done. Well, you're not done. You're just going to have to fight killers now.
Now the bigger dogs on the porch have to. You have to pick on the bigger dogs now.
Yeah, exactly.
See, that's what makes grudge racing so great is because you have to be on your A-plus game every time you come out. You can't have an A-minus day. You have to be A-plus because the other guy is on his A-plus game, and you don't know what he's got. You can ballpark it and think and try to figure in your head and go through all the mind games, but the bottom line is you don't know.
Yeah.
And that's the great part about the grudge racing. That's what I love about grudge racing is two cars lining up, and we can all think, you know, guess, try to guess who's doing what. But the bottom line is, man, that's when your back's up against the wall. And that's why I love the grudge racing. I love the grudge racing because you just don't know. And that's why I like the, you know, when the clocks aren't on, when everything's off and times are off and mile and hours off, man, it's a guessing game.
Yep.
It's
all about who dotted all their I's and crossed all their T's at the end of the day. Because if somebody leaves something short and end up losing the race because of that, who becomes the better man at the end of the day? That's what makes it so exciting.
Well, I still feel it still needs it may need to be tweaked a little bit more, this whole situation.
Well, everything does, you know. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, it ain't gonna be perfect, but it's a good opportunity to let some other people race, and you got two different class. You got class and grudge race.
And now you're separated.
And your fans want to see it.
But I don't want the chassis cars in there. I've always said that from day one. You know, this grudge racing is more of a street racing thing, a street car. You know, that form of racing. It's not really about a full chassis car. And to bring that in, it's defeating the whole, you know, the whole grudge race thing. So that's why I feel that if you're gonna, I'm glad you came in, Biz, to clear everything up.
Oh yeah.
Because you know, when I was talking about it earlier, I was just like, you got two different rules for the same, you know, the same scenario.
And you're right. I mean, some guys just allow to like to blow it up, and it shouldn't be that way. But, you know,
Well, I'm hoping that, maybe that'll send, you know, just an awareness to everybody else out there. Don't come with a car that's 10 o'clock. You know, just bring your grudge car. Or just make just call the shootout a grudge shootout, and that should take away everything. Then they know that it's got to be a grudge car. Something to identify with it being a grudge car. So the shootout, to me, means anybody can go. If you have, you know, what the rules say you have to have.
Yeah. But Petey will stand up about it. Petey will stand up about it, you know. You know, he said if that's the rules, he stands by them or whatever. I can't remember what he said verbatim, but he will stand up about it and, you know, we encourage it, you know. We admit it, you know, we were at fault. You know, we should have did more investigating, but, you know, it was just happy that, you know, you had two marquee players in the girls' game. You know, Petey Small Block name is is known all, you know, across the country. And so is the white boys, and they had two going to be at the same place, same doggone time, and running for the extreme small block nitrous belt, man, hell. So, you know, that's what it was, and it was a hell of a race. I was there. It was a hell of a race. It, whew, man, you know. Yeah.
Well, let me ask this, Biz. When the race was locked up, was it locked up for the car that Petey brought?
Yeah. Like I said, the white boys knew what car they was running, and they knew that it had flashed the tire. He didn't care. He just wanted the race. You got to be in his shoes. He was so hyped up on his race, he had to cancel his race for whatever reason he had to cancel it for. He canceled it. So he canceled his race in South Carolina and drove up to Maryland to race. So, you know, if you was expecting to have your own race and get down at your race, and you had to, you know, cancel it for whatever reason he canceled it for, he just wanted to race that weekend, man. And he showed up. He showed up and he got them beans. So I take my hat off to him, you know. So evidently, and I got to say this too, you got to use common sense sometimes. If he knew what he ran, he might have said, if that's what he ran, skip him. Get down. So that is an advantage for a grudge racer if they do race a class car. Because I'm going to tell you this. And I'm going to say this. People only cry about class cars when they are fast.
Right.
You don't hear nobody crying about a class car if they're running 550, 540. They wouldn't give a damn if they got in a shootout. But as soon as a class car put down a damn Steven Jackson or Chris Tootin type of number, all hell break loose. No, you can't let them in there. Uh-uh, that's a class car. But I don't care. If you get one of these class cars that run, that turn the boys on, and they run at 530, 540, won't nobody say a damn, and I'm talking 8-mile car.
Right.
They won't say a damn thing about them. Nothing. Because there ain't no threat.
If they're running that belt, oh, so the white boys knew that was a class car.
Mm-hmm.
Grudge didn't know it was a class car.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, no. Let me back up. I knew that Petey Small Block turned the light to turn the bulbs on with that car before. But when they discussed him running for the belt, it hadn't turned the bulb on. I think they had talked to speaking like May. And he hadn't turned the bulbs on. But he turned the bulbs on this year. But when they had talked to him at first, he hadn't turned the bulbs on. But the white boy, when he locked in that way, he knew that Petey had flashed his time this year. So
that's where I'm confused. If he knew that the white boys knew it was a class car and they still wanted to race it, where's the problem at?
The problem comes in when you got other people that want to run for that belt. That's a grudge car that don't want to run against Petey. That's the problem. Yeah.
Oh, I got you.
And it's being called a grudge belt, and grudge is no times period. So you got other people that called Willie Dog, that called Jay Barnes, complaining. Person that flashed the times got a belt. How am I gonna run him for the belt when he has showed his time? If I beat him, my hustle is dead.
Right.
So, you know, for what he flashed on his, I ain't going to say his time on him, but for what he flashed, if you had to run that man with a small block and you beat Petey, you got a stout piece. All y'all got to do is just research small block Petey, find out what he ran. His big block's not going to get that man run with a small block, single cobweb. So, you know, you got people complaining that want to run for the belt, but they can't run Petey because Petey, they can. Physically, they can.
They can, but they burn their car. They burn their car. If they run them, they burn the car.
There you go.
Yep. So, no, I got it. I got it now.
Okay.
I got it. Now I understand why you guys wanted it back.
Yeah. So don't disrespect Petey. We told him, keep the belt. You earned it. You won it. But you can't hold the title. And that's what I came in.
Now, wouldn't it be smarter for these promoters to do these shootout races and the class races and do a no time throughout the whole event? I mean, down in West Palm,
What do you mean? What do you mean? A shootout, a no time and a class. What do you mean?
Well, down here in West Palm, we had class racing, you know, where you have your 28, your 29-inch tire car. You have all your classes, but they ran no times the whole day. Nobody got to see what anybody ran. When the ticket was split down the middle, there was no bulbs turned on. Ticket was split down the middle. You got your ticket. If you won, your ticket, you know, your half ticket said winner. I mean, is that not the same thing as grudge racing? Would that still make the car a legal car if they were running class racing, but they weren't lighting up the bulbs?
Yeah, but if you lighted up the bulb, I mean, if you lighted up the scoreboards before that, and say, you know,
I understand you. What I'm saying is, wouldn't it be smarter for these promoters to have these shootout races and just run no time, so it doesn't the grudge racers still get to run their classes, but they still get to stay, you know, eligible for the belt.
I'm not following you. I'm really not. I don't understand what you mean.
Are
you allowing class races to run in these events?
The events that they had, well, they just ended them. They're not running them anymore. But you had class racing. So you had your 28-inch tall tire car. You had your 29-inch tire car. You know, they had pro mods there.
Are they showing times?
No, they showed no times at all, but it was still class racing.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know about that.
But that's what I'm saying. Wouldn't that be smarter for the promoters that want to do these shootout racing and get some of this grudge racing in? Is not to light up the bulbs. You know.
Yeah,
that
I mean
keeps
they do
the
that.
Bands
they,
in,
they
that
have,
keeps
yeah,
the
they have shootouts and grudge racing in at the same event.
Right. But are they lighting up the bulbs on the class racing?
No.
Okay, so then that keeps everybody
yeah,
legal.
A grudge promoter is no light up the board at all, at no part of the day, none.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that the shootout, I feel, they're fun to watch. I always like to know who's winning or who's in what round and stuff like that. But you're going to get these guys. How do you get these guys, Biz, that maybe have had class cars, but they want to cross over?
They,
and what
they
I mean by
wait,
class cars, what I mean. What? But don't
you
think they'll
lose? And you got to wait till the next year, and they can get in.
But you,
no,
they got to
no,
stop.
The way it's set up now, Teo. Say you class race all the way this year with your car, and you stop. Say you stop class racing in November, and then you put it out there, and you let everybody know, okay, I'm strictly grudge racing my car. Now you have to wait till 2015. January 1st, 2015, you can grudge race that car. But you cannot at any time in 2015 like the boards up. Say you grudge race your car. Say you start racing this year in November. And January 1st, all slates are clean. You go to a race down in West Palm Beach in February, and you grudge race your car. You go to Mardi Gras in March, and you grudge race your car. And say if a big clash, say Ducks race come up in March, and you go down there, I mean in April, you go down there and you light the boards up. You're done for the year. You cannot come back to grudge racing until 2016.
Yeah, I think you're going to lose a lot of people like that. I don't know. Here's why. I'm building a motor right now for my Vega, a turbo motor.
Okay.
Now, my car class race. And when I come out with my car, I got to wait a whole year before I can bring
No. You ain't. If you build your turbo motor, you build in your turbo motor. You come. If you build in a new motor, and your Vega hasn't showed times. Okay. When last time your Vega showed time?
2 months ago.
Okay. When is your turbo motor going to be done?
Probably, I'm hoping by Thanksgiving.
Okay. January 1st, you can grudge race.
So as long as you change the power plant in the car. So it could have been a class car, but now I'm changing the motor and putting a completely different motor in it than what it had in it. So now the car may run quicker, could run slower. Nobody knows. The guessing game is back at it.
Mm-hmm. You can, in 2015, January 1st, you can grudge race. And that worked out for you.
I got you. Okay.
You can grudge race anytime you want to. Let me tell you.
You just can't run for a belt.
Anytime you want to. Right. And shoot the grudge shootouts, yeah.
Wait a minute. Say that again.
I said you can grudge race your car anytime you want to. You just gotta put your money. Can't nobody tell you when you can and when you cannot grudge race. But we're talking about grudge shootouts now. You know, where the promoter is gonna allow the cars in. You know, it's up to the promoter discretion to let whatever car into a shootout he wants. But can't no man on earth tell you when and when you cannot grudge race your car.
So when they running for the belt, it's not allowed.
That's a different thing. You're running for the belt. You got to talk to the promoter or the sanctioning body of the belt. That's, mm-hmm. Yeah, but I'm talking about just strictly grudge racing. Like if I want to say Tayo ran classes all year, and he say, man, I want to grudge race, and he picks somebody he want to grudge race against, he can grudge race against anybody he want to. When you talk about belts and shootouts, then they got certain rules that you got to fit into.
Oh,
I got
you. He can run against anybody in a grudge race.
Oh yeah. Tell you when you can't run your car. I can't tell you when you can run your car.
So it was just based because it was a belt involved.
Exactly.
Okay.
If Petey and the white boy want to run 16 more times, they can run all, you know, whatever. But when you got a belt or a girl shootout involved, then that's something different. Okay, nobody tell you when you can grudge race your car.
Yeah.
You know, Biz, I agree with that. Now that you've explained it, now that I see what you're saying is because you know what, you don't want to burn your car. Bottom line, you put too much money into it to burn it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always said that. That's why I've always even said about the shootout. No, no class car should be in that at all. Period.
Even if they
meet their criteria, the rules that you have set out.
Sure.
I agree, man. Because the grudge game is exactly that, man. It's a guessing game. And the minute we start slipping that up, and letting class cars in, grudge racing is just going to be racing.
And just,
you have to have that mystery. You have to have that mystery. That.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, what I mean?
Only class cars that's gonna get complained about is the fastness. Just know that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, you mentioned that before, because once your head is on that chopping block, then you start crying, oh, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
What you laughed at, Z?
Oh, man. So many rules to do some grudge racing, you know?
You know, out here, you just come off the street race, out here, you just come off the trailer, eat up the tires, and go.
Yeah,
you know, but I was against that whole can't show your time. Once it got explained, I'm totally for it because I understand now. You know, it's out of the game out, the whole thing. So I agree with that.
Yeah, it boils down to you got to have rules. It's like mom and dad give us rules. We got to obey by and abide by in our house. And once we see their household, you can go do what the hell you want to. But long as you're in this house, you got to be in by the street light or clean up your room. So long as you have the rules, that keeps things in order.
Now, not to beat a dead horse or anything, but this is why all these little Oklahoma outlaw girls, when they want to race you, they want to see your car on YouTube because they want to see how fast it is, just to see what kind of car it is or how it leaves, stuff like that. Well, you know what? When they show those times and they see that, they know they got you beat. That's when they say, okay. I mean, Chad sent them a video, a call-out video. Chad called them out. And they still wouldn't let Chad on the show. So, you know, it's one of them things that just is what it is. And
we
just,
lost.
You know, we lost who?
We lost Bid.
Bid? Why, where'd he go?
He was on my line. He must have just hung up.
Oh, he must have got tired. Probably fell asleep. The phone dropped out of his ear.
Yeah. he know your number. He can call back in if you want.
Well, I'm glad that he, you know, he explained it on how it is, because like I said, I didn't know all the
detail.
Yeah. But, like I said, and you know, Biz said it too. You know, some people have that preferential treatment, and that shit ain't right.
No, it ain't. It ain't. Because you remember when this grudge thing started off, you remember the big argument about some guys got paid to come to a certain event? And then a few of the other guys were like, well, where my check at? I travel all that distance. And it was a big controversy. But it ain't fair.
But, at the same time, I get that. I understand that.
As far as hyping to show up?
Well,
yeah, I understand that as well. If you made a name for yourself, you know, and somebody's willing to pay you to come somewhere, you'll never be the fastest guy. You'll never be, you know, all the time. So I understand. You make a name for yourself, it brings out racers that say, I can beat him.
Yeah.
I can put him on the trailer. So
yeah.
I do understand that. You know, you put in your time, you make a name for yourself, you know.
Mm-hmm. I have no problem with it neither, but you still had a few guys that started getting jealous. Oh, you paid Zeke to come. I want my check too. Well, it started to be a little controversy, and it got hyped up for a minute, but then it died down. They stopped paying everybody, and it died down. But they went back to paying. Some people get paid to come, put on a show. Because when Lil Tony did shows here, when we heard Cold Killer, man, it you talking about a box office selling out? They wanted to see that race.
Well, yeah. And that's the thing is, you know, we go to the drag races as kids and watch all the funny cars run. But we were more excited when we saw the wheel sanders or the rocket cars, you know, something that would just put you in awe, you know, and if you're going to have a big show, you have to have a headliner. You can't say, hey, I'm having a race, everybody come. Well, who's coming? It doesn't matter. We're just having a whole bunch of people. Come on. You just can't do it. You have to have that
headliner. That headliner will make you and break you.
Yeah. I mean, they're struggling here. I mean, they're struggling West Palm. I mean, they have. I just talked to one of the guys today that does a little bit of grudge racing out there. And as far as it goes right now, there is no more grudge racing out at our track. No more. No. It's not making the money. It's not making the money to keep it going. You know, they were doing a race a month, and it's just not bringing the people, and it's just not bringing the cars.
You say the grudge racing ain't bringing the people?
In West Palm, in Florida, cars are just not coming out. The crowd is just not coming out. I know in Georgia, when I raced all through Georgia, it's huge up there. Down far this south, it's not as big, you know.
Yeah, I understand that. It's some states that just doesn't get into it. Like here in Detroit, grudge racing. Chicago, grudge racing. Now, we can skip over Ohio. I can count on one hand how many Ohio people come to Michigan to grudge race. It's like they just class in that state. Indiana, they do probably about 90%, 80% class, and the rest is maybe a little grudge. Linky Leon, he comes from Indiana, way over here to Chicago and Detroit, just a grudge race. St. Louis, they do a little of both, but mostly class and shootouts. But you go to Mississippi, Alabama, oh, they trying to get it on.
New Orleans, Louisiana?
Yeah, you can just name certain states that does that. The fad, I guess, in that area.
Oh, see, you know what happened now? Somebody done woke up, Chad. What's going on, my brother? What's going on?
Just chilling at the shop, you know, same old shit.
I said your name. I said your name. I mentioned your name. I'm thinking, I wonder if he'll call, wherever he's listening at the shop. And then all of a sudden, now I see the number pop up. I'm like, yeah, he's here.
With the grudge shit, as far as people getting paid to show up, I mean, it's just like any other sport where money's involved. You know, certain names, certain people bring crowds. If you know that you got Boost 12, Boosted GT, the White Boys, you know, On Kill, you know, all these guys with these big names, if you know that you got them to lock in a race for your race, you're going to have more people show up to your race and you're going to make more money. And let's face it, nobody's in the promoting game to not make money. You know, people do promoting and run races, you know, because the love of the sport. But at the same time, you don't put in all that time and not expect to get something back out of it.
You're right.
Yeah. And I think that a promoter that's promoting his show should have that right if he wants to pay someone to come. I think that's all up to the promoter.
Oh, yeah. If I was the promoter, and let's say I paid Teo to come to my race because he's a fucking big name. He's going to get people to show up. He's going to make me money. Someone wants to come up and talk shit. Why the fuck you pay Teo and you didn't pay me? I'll tell you what. Go over there, line up with Teo, head up, no fucking stipulations for 1,000 right now, and you can get paid from Teo.
That's just it. I'll make my money when I get there. You know what I mean? And that's the great part about it. You'll make your money when you get there. But you need headliners to draw the crowd. The thing is about it's about the racing, but you know what? It's the crowd. Look what Pink's All Out did. Look at the people that used to pack to watch those cars race.
Look what's going on right now. Look what's going on right now with that Match Race Madness down in Verona. Have you been to one of those Match Race Madnesses yet, Teo?
I got invited to one.
They are fucking packed. Verona is packed. If you don't get there the day before, you're going to have to park outside of the racetrack and drive your car in from the dirt on into the racetrack.
And that's a little 8-mile track down there too, guys. That's not a big quarter mile track. That's a little 8-mile track at the Indian Zone.
And where it's a little 8-mile track that literally unless you got some really, really good brakes, which my last car had really, really good brakes on it, you go anything over 130 there and don't pull the chute, you're liable to end up running off a cliff. It's not even a great hooking track. But the thing is, the promoter has done the work to set up, you know, they're just their best 2 out of 3 grudge races.
And where is this at?
You can put up money, you know, the people racing can put up money if they want, or they can just do it for fun. I mean, it's not even like, you know, you don't have Tony Bynes racing Boost 12 for $15,000 right off the trailer. You know, you don't even have headlines like that. You know, you just got, this guy in his 540 car is going to be racing this guy in his 540 car, and the shit's packed.
And where is this at?
In Verona, it's like down near San Diego, down not too far away from the California-Mexico border.
Okay.
It's just a little podunk track. I mean, half of the pits don't even have asphalt. Like I said, if you don't get there early, you're parking in the dirt.
Oh.
You know, it's just a little podunk track on an Indian reservation. But the thing is, it's not NHRA owned like all the other tracks around here. All the other tracks around here are owned by the NHRA. Not owned, but insured by the NHRA. So
right.
They all have to go by NHRA rules. You know,
right.
You got to have your fire jacket and your license and your certified roll cage and, you know, all that expensive ass shit that a lot of grudge racers aren't willing to pay for.
Uh-huh.
But since Verona is on an Indian reservation, which is sovereign land, they can do whatever the hell they want.
Right.
And he ain't shaking hands with no more white people because they learned their lesson the last time they did that.
Right. But no, that's what Teo. I don't know if you saw my post the other day, but I'm trying to work it together. And you know how it is when I get motivated. I actually found out that the mayor of Paris, California, wants a drag strip in his city. So I'm working on getting everything together and buying property and building my own fucking track.
Dude, we should all get together and buy some property out there.
I found a 70-acre. A 70-acre lot with a house on it. You know, decent little 3-bedroom, 3-bathroom house, $450,000. Figure another $500,000-$600,000 building the track with my hookups in the construction industry and, you know, what I already know about building and masonry and pouring concrete and all that kind of bullshit. You know, I mean, figure with about $1 million. I could get it done. And I mean, yeah, $1 million sounds like a ton of fucking money, but really in this day and age, it is.
I got 5 on it.
Hey, listen, right? You know what you do? Hey, listen, you know what you do? Chad.
I got 5 on it.
You get a couple people to get pre-qualified for a loan, and that's how you get that money.
Oh, I mean, that's one good thing that I got going on for me is, you know, I'm white. I got good credit.
You what?
My credit score is over
700. I got good credit.
Tell you told me he was black.
Well, I mean,
I said he walks around.
Only in certain places. That's how I got the good-looking girlfriend.
I told you. That's what I told you. He black on the inside.
Oh, man, with the lights out, huh? Yeah, right? But, yeah, no, I mean, it's one of those things. You know, I mean, it's just I've dealt with people as business partners before. There's only a couple of people that would actually be willing to get into something, you know, this big with. You know, I mean, yeah, if I do it on my own, it's going to take a whole lot longer. But at the same time, if I get in on it with somebody else and then they end up wanting to, you know, fuck me over, then I'm going to do all this work and put out all this money for nothing. So, I mean, even if it takes me, you know, even if it ends up taking me 5, 10, 15 years, I don't give a shit to do it on my own unless I can find someone that I really trust that, you know, has just as much passion as it for me, then I'm not really about having a partner.
Listen, Chad, that's where you come in with your hire a lawyer, and you give him this like we do in drag racing. Yeah, you can become a partner. You can become a partner. We donate as much money as you want, but your rights to this track is only limited. You can't tell me what to do to this. You can't tell me what to do to that. I need your money.
Yeah. You're gonna need more than a million. You're gonna need more than a million. You know, and not only that, you know, if the mayor's all hyped up about a track being there,
you might
the
get
city
funding
gonna give?
The city. Yeah,
yeah,
the
that,
city.
That's the thing. That's the thing. If the mayor's hyped up on it, you know, the mayor's hyped up on it. I've got a business. I've got income. I've got credit. I mean, to get a loan for something of that magnitude, you know, especially if I get the mayor, first thing is making sure the mayor's as on board as he's talking about being on board. Second thing is get the mayor to get city council on board. Once I've got the mayor and city council on board, I'm pretty much golden.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't think all these baseball stadiums and football stadiums are funded by private? You know. You
know what, Chad? Chad, I think this. You buy the property, the house, and that 78 acres, and then you tell the mayor, I got the land for a track. How much do you want to put into it?
Well, I mean, that's the whole thing is, you know, as much as I'd like to, you know, just throw out the money and buy the property, I mean, I'm not trying to live in Paris, you know. So it would be one of those things, you know, it's one of those things. I've already contacted the mayor's office and contacted a couple of people. And, you know, just basically waiting for a call back and get an appointment and talk to the mayor. Once I've got, you know, once I know for sure that the mayor's on board, that's when, you know, I'll have no problem going ahead and, you know, busting the $460,000 or whatever dollar note it is on that property. But, you know, I don't even want to bust the nut on the property until I know that it's something I'm going to be able to actually move forward with.
Uh-huh. Yeah, glad you said that, because we got a track here in Michigan matter of fact, Bills was supposed to have his race there in Onondaga, Michigan. Last year, it opened up his doors for the first time last fall. The courts okayed it. They were good to go. The next following year, they couldn't open the doors up because somebody in the neighborhood complain about the noise is going to hurt their cows from having milk, from having babies, and the milk going to be curdled and all that kind of stuff. They have for this year.
Fontana Speedway, which is one of our local quarter-mile tracks that has always kind of catered to racers, you know, that track was out in the middle. And, I mean, at the end of the day, the track is what ended up building up the community around it. You know, like most big, you know, good racetracks do. And, you know, even with all the auto club lawyers and NHRA lawyers, they were shut down for 2.5 years because some old bitch was complaining that her son couldn't get his homework done when the cars were racing because it was too loud.
Yeah. Well, you know what they did in Milan, and this is what I found out, that and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, Shake.
Uh-huh.
That the houses that are near the track don't have to pay, I think, taxes on the house in compensation of being next to the track. Is that true?
I heard something similar that I'm not 100% sure. I heard some rumors going on about that, but that's a good deal.
That's why nobody complains about the noise, because for you people who've never been to Milan, I mean, there's houses just right down the road. I mean,
yeah.
And I'm talking, you could probably put a golf ball on the starting line and hit it and probably hit a window.
Yeah.
You know, and they're that close.
I've raced out in Atlanta, and I've done a divisional race out there twice. They shut you down early because of the houses around there. You know, so if you don't get the race in during the day, you're done, because I think they shut you down. They shut you down early. It's like you can't race past 7:30 or 8 o'clock at night. It's been a while since I've been there. But,
well,
you know,
one of the rules is if you stay past a certain time, you got to pay, I think it's a $500 or $1,000 late fee. Well, I don't think you want to call it late fee, but if you're going to stay past like 12 o'clock or 2 o'clock, you got to pay $500 or $1,000. It's some kind of fine if you're going to stay late. But if you pay it, you can stay late on. You can stay all the way up until 3, 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Your big thing, Chad, is not the mayor. It's planning and zoning. You have to actually – you need to make your meeting with planning and zoning and not the mayor.
Well, listen, being Italian, I got people that'll take care of the planning and the landing and all that stuff like that. That's all desert out there.
We got that shit handled. I'll send a couple of my boys. We'll take care of it.
You got no problem over here. I make a phone call up north to my uncle. Bim, boom, bam. We got a racetrack.
You want to fuck with me? You want to fuck with me?
Don't nobody say nothing about my family doing family business. Everybody's okay.
Yeah,
now,
you need an uncle in the furniture business.
Oh, gotta have an uncle in the furniture business. That's very important.
Very important.
You get that phone call, Rocco, go dig a ditch. Oh, somebody's in trouble. Someone's in trouble. No, man. Hey, you know me, Chad. I'm always in. And I think this is a good idea. And I think Paris would love that, man. I think they would love that out there.
No, I mean, the mayor is down for it. You know, the property I'm looking at is far enough away from the lake to where it's not, you know, it's not where all the people are. You know, I mean, it's a ranch property. And I mean, it's almost big enough to where NHRA would be, you know, would be able to back it. But NHRA actually requires 100-acre property minimum to build a track on.
100 to 200 acres of property.
Yeah. NHRA requires 100 acres minimum. But that's the whole thing, and that's the whole reason I want to build it, is because I don't want fucking shit to do with NHRA.
Hey, Jeff.
And NHRA is the whole problem why we can't have any good grudge racing out here.
Yeah.
You know, because there nobody for their – I mean, look at Crazy Kelly. Crazy Kelly's willing to drive all the way to Texas. You know, for a $10,000 cash days, you know, but he won't go to the track.
The NHRA just got too many steps for us. They overstepped everything.
You know, if I could build a track, you know, and obviously get a good lawyer and, you know, get tight with the city and get everything set up to where the city and everybody allows me to do it, get a good lawyer, get some decent insurance, and, you know, have a really good waiver of responsibility, you know, I can make it to where, obviously, you know, I'm still going to be checking the cars and making sure that, you know, if this motherfucker goes down the track, you know, his seat belts aren't falling out. His seat's nice and tight. If if he's got a pretty fucking fast car, then he's got to have a roll, at least a 10 points in it, you know, that doesn't look like it was welded by some 8-year-old Chinese kid that with one eye blind on an eye patch, you know, I mean, just basic safety equipment that everybody should have and that everybody should really care about if they're running something that's pretty damn fast.
Well, you just get sanctioned.
Replacing the seat belts every 2 years and replacing your window net every 2 years and replacing your helmet every 4 years and, you know, all this extra ass shit, licensing, roll cage certifications, you know, I mean, all this extra stuff that, you know, is necessary at a certain level of competition, but I mean, I really think until you're dealing with cars that are 480s, 470s in the 8, a lot of that shit's not that important as long as the car is built right.
Yeah, but your insurance is going to reflect that.
What do you think about looking into getting some land from the Air Force Base there, March Air Force Base? It's all concrete, those runways, and it's already there.
Yeah. But, I mean, at the same time, that's government property, and you already know how the government likes to, you know.
But I don't think that Air Force Base is active anymore.
But it's still like government-owned land. It's still government-owned land. It'd be like me trying to buy, it'd be like me trying to go out to Ocotillo Wells, or something, and buy some BLM property. You know, they're not going to let me do it.
That's
yeah, but
where
they
the
might
mayor
get, let you lease it. You don't necessarily have to buy it if you lease it. We have a track down here in South Florida at Mockley. It's leased. It's an old runway. You know, the man doesn't own the track, but he leases the property and he built the track around it. Track works awesome, man. It's a great place to go.
Oh yeah, I mean, if you can find an old runway that you're allowed to turn into a drag strip, you're pretty much set, because I mean that shit's built to land 747s on all day long. Your average, you know, I mean not average, but let's say your 1500 to 2500 horsepower car ain't gonna do shit to the concrete on that runway.
Uh-uh.
Right.
So y'all.
Hey, so chat. I gotta tell you, man. Did you hear about Larry Larson?
Is there anybody that didn't hear about that fucking 616?
Yeah, dude. Was that unbelievable or what? How do you like that, man?
With exhaust all the way to the back of the car?
And pulling the chutes before the finish line. Getting out of it before the finish. Hey.
No, he's a bad, bad man. I think next year's drag week is gonna have a car in the fives. They're literally gonna be driving a full on legitimate pro mod 1,000 miles to the street and running fives.
Hey, but you know who won't be there? Any of them Oklahoma City bitches. They had that race in their own backyard. They had the race in their own backyard and didn't even show up.
You didn't see that on Chief's fucking Facebook page? Chief
no,
was,
I'm banned
Chief,
from all their
Chief
stuff.
Chief was posting shit. He was posting all kinds of shit on Drag Week. I was like, where the fuck are your guys' world's fastest street race cars at? Where are you at? Why the fuck aren't you in it? Yeah, I mean, Blake Hughes, he's one of my buddies. He's from Oklahoma. He owns 417 Motorsports. He's a fucking really great guy. He literally finished his car like last Thursday or Friday. It's that that crusty Nova, that white rust Nova. Yeah,
they're still shaking that down.
Yeah, and it's a true street driven car. It's not just a car that they built just for drag week. It's a true street-driven car with a twin-turbo fuel-injected LS motor, and he was going 850s, like 850-something, like 160. I think he actually ended up winning his class.
And there's still more in that car. There's still more in it.
Oh, yeah, there's way more in it. It's a brand-new combination that they just put in it. And, you know, brand-new combination, and they didn't have any issues with it. I mean, I give the guy nothing but respect, you know. Just like Larson, though. Larson only finished that truck like a day or two before drag week started. Yeah, I mean, to do something of those caliber of builds and then go out and put that much time on them and, you know, that many miles on the highway and driving around and, you know, changing tires and doing everything that they got to do and then run those kind of times. I mean, I got to give it to the guy.
You know, I got to tell you, man.
Maybe I'll try it with the 2005 Mustang next year, the one that I'm just about to finish up. I'm just waiting on Hogan's for the intake manifold.
Here's the thing, though, Chad. We'll travel to go try. And we might not make it good, but we'll go travel. We'll take that drive. This was in their own backyard, and they couldn't put one car. Oh, they did have one car, that chick Tina with the truck. She was running 850s.
Why wasn't the fire chicken out there? I want to know why the fire chicken wasn't out there, Chief's car. That car seems like it would be the perfect drag week car.
She was the only one that had the balls to go out to drag week with her truck. And none of those dudes went out there. That's a fucking joke, dude. I'm sorry, man. If there was a race like that here in California, you don't think if it was in our backyard, you don't think we'd be there?
Oh, I'd steal somebody's shit just to go and do it. I'd steal somebody's shit, make it better, and then fucking go do it.
Hey, Worm, leave your car at the shop right now.
Give it back to him when I got back.
Hey, Worm, leave your car at the shop. We're going to do something, too. We're going to fix the exhaust on it or something.
I would do that. I would do that with Worm's car in a heartbeat. The only thing Worm would be mad at me about is that I didn't invite him.
But you know what, man? That just gets me. That's just funnier than shit.
I don't know how you can call yourself a bad. Oh well, you know what? Here it is. See, they can't do drag week because then they would be putting up a time.
Oh well, all the cars that they race are 3 seconds slower than them anyway. So what are they worried about? And the ones that sit like them, they can't beat. Those guys are the big... I wish they fucking called in so I could tell them they're a bunch of pussies. I got to get their address. I got to go to Oklahoma.
I got phone vent. Numbers for you.
Oh, dude. You know, I've been calling Asian, man. Asian just won't pick up the phone. Hong Kong Fooey. He just won't pick up. They probably don't answer no calls from anyone from 310.
Yeah, no, they don't. When I called them to just get some pimp juice, they wouldn't answer. And then when they got my message that I was just looking for pimp juice, then they called me back.
Hell, I got a crop duster on hold waiting for you to get a word. It'll take you there and back.
I had a lot of respect for the Oklahoma guys. When they came out to California, ton of respect for them. I was like, all right, cool. You know what? They've been talking shit, but they're ready to back it up, and they're here to back it up. But then when all that shit went down and, you know, they're telling me, oh, you'll get your race. You can pick whatever car. You can race whoever you want. You can race anybody you want. It doesn't matter. Fucking blah, blah, blah. And then as soon as they got done with their first couple of races, boom, all of a sudden the car transport shows up and they're loading the cars up and leaving. Like, what the fuck, dude? Like, I thought you guys said I could race whoever I wanted.
Wait a minute. Whoa. Back up. I didn't get this information. Are you telling me they didn't really trailer their cars out here?
No, fuck no, they didn't trailer their cars out here. They came out on a transport. All the Oklahoma guys got flown out and then got put in a rental car. That's why when they went to go put their car on the street, when supposedly they were acting like they were going to race Bodie on 135th and Main, that's why they were using the AV boys' trucks and trailers.
Oh. Oh, the AV boys left it. Oh, what a bunch of little bitches, man.
Oh, no, the AV boys were sucking some Oklahoma dick.
Oh, they probably still are.
They were sucking dick and fucking cupping the balls and making sure everything was nice and soft and smooth.
Did they buy shirts from them too?
I'm sure they did. Hey, at least they came out to you guys. No, like I said, I had full respect that they came out and that they wanted to race, but, you know, at the end of the day, they wasted 4 days of my time. You know,
Chad,
they made me take time off of work to go and get my car tech inspected. Yeah, that's right. You have to go through tech inspection to be on Street Outlaws. They made me take my car to their tech inspector, and he was literally like looking at shit that NHRA doesn't even look at. Like, my car is 100% NHRA legal. I race in NHRA events all the fucking time and never have any issues. And then this guy that they hired to do it is like complaining about the tiniest little things. And then the next day I had to meet up with the producers, and the next day go out to the track, and it's like at the end of the day none of them would race me. So it's like, why the fuck did you just waste 4 days of my time?
You know what, Chad? Here's where I'm different from you. I don't have respect for him, and here's why. We drove straight to Mississippi nonstop.
Yep.
And didn't get a race. They flew out here.
Yeah.
They flew out here. They already knew they were going to win. And then go back on their show and talk shit about California.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to see Murder Nova race Bodie's car right now.
Oh, Murder Nova wouldn't even think about racing Bodie's car right now. That motherfucker. I don't know what in the hell he was thinking. He should have left the Pro Charger on there because the car was working fine and it was fast as fuck. The biggest mistake he made was putting the twin turbos on that car because everybody – and he's putting the twin turbos on the car because Precision is giving him free shit.
Oh, yeah.
But
and lots
guess
of
what? The car is slower now that it's twin turbo than when it was Pro Charged. You know, and the fact of the matter is, anybody can go on YouTube right now and find the video of Kelly driving his car next to the Murder Nova on the trailer in Oklahoma and then dragging fucking the Murder Nova down the street when the Murder Nova was number one.
So much shit. And they talk so much shit about Kelly because they said, yeah, well, we beat him too. That car's not fast.
It's like, yeah, but guess what? They never drove to California and beat Kelly. Kelly drove to them, pulled his car off the trailer, drove his car from where they met up at to where they went to race, and then busted their ass at their own home game.
Won't see that on TV.
And then did it again the next day because when they did the night race, the one where you see Kelly driving next to him, the Oklahoma guys cried like little fucking bitches and said that, oh, we couldn't tell who won, so we got to do it again. And then Kelly fucked up the Murder Nova again the next day.
Yeah, they can never tell who wins. And Boom told me that one of the guys in Louisiana when they raced beat him. And Murder Nova cried and said he wasn't ready, and they had to redo the race. And then, guess what? Murder Nova won.
Well, I think that's why they paint their cars all. I think that's why they paint their cars all black and always have the camera on the opposite lane of the car that, the opposite lane of what they're in, because that way you can't see the black car. You know, you can't tell if the black car was in front or if it was behind.
Yeah, it's just all bullshit. But you know what? It's one of just them things. I wish
at the end of the day, you can't knock the hustle. They're getting fucking paid to travel all over the world, all over the U.S.
and
race and getting free car parts and getting free engines and free chassis work and
all this other bullshit, you know damn well you'd do it too if you could get all that shit for free.
No, listen, I get that part of it, I do. But the hustle I don't get, all they're doing is racing slower cars.
Because
if
it's proven that they're not the fastest street race cars in the country, then there's no show.
Yeah, exactly. And they're not the fastest street race cars because Mr. Larson just went 6:16. And I can tell you right now, he could put that car on the street to race those guys, and not one would come out after him. Not a single one.
No, but see, here's their deal. Larry Larson's not a street car. He did that at the track. Larry Larson doesn't street race. It doesn't matter.
He drives that car every day. That's an everyday street car.
He drove his car 1,000 miles on the street. He didn't race it on the street.
Even though you
saw what happened to fucking Kelly's car when Kelly put his car on one of the Oklahoma streets, that motherfucker was on the bumper as soon as it left.
Yep. You know, Daddy Dave went down to Holly Springs, and Mark from the 901 Bad Boys, they tried to lock a race with him right there. Hey, you're here, let's hear it. And he's like, they're like, take it to the street, take it to the street. Finally, they said, okay, let's take it to the street. Yeah, did that race happen? No.
Well, no. Because they can't. They can't fucking.
Oh,
they cannot. None of the Oklahoma Outlaws, none of the cars that are the main characters on that show, they cannot do anything on the street without the approval of the production company. They don't even own their cars right now. That's why they don't trailer their cars to the race. They don't take their cars to the race because they don't even own their production company owns their cars right now. The production company says, okay, we got races locked up in California. We're going to pick up, make sure all your cars are ready. Take them to Lutz or whoever does all their engine work and fabrication work. And he's going to make sure everything's good. Take it to the dyno. They're going to make sure everything's good over there. We're going to load them up in the trailer. We'll fly you out. We'll see you on this day.
Yeah. Hold on one second, Chad. 734-4942. Your mic's open. Who's this?
Hey, what's going on, Tao? Melvin, man.
What's going on, Mel?
You got it, man. Just checking in on the show, man, seeing how y'all doing, listening to what's going on.
Oh, glad you bounced in, brother.
Yep.
What up, man?
Hey, what's happening, man?
So what's that?
I say y'all talking about them Oklahoma boys again, huh?
Well, we was talking about Larry Larson, who went 6:16 at 2:19 out of drag week.
Yeah, I saw that. That old truck was rolling, too.
Sure was, man. That thing was stepping. And Melvin, you'll understand this. If they had drag week in Milan, wouldn't you take your car and take a shot at it?
Yeah.
And not one of them clowns from Oklahoma went to Tulsa with their cars.
Well, it's different opinion. Well, they can't, they street cars. So they kind of like in a grudge lane. They can't show their times.
But so are these
right?
guys. These guys, huh? These guys are. But these guys that are at drag week, they got to drive their cars for 1,000 miles or 500 miles or something like that, don't they? So doesn't that make them street cars?
Yeah, they are. They are true street cars.
So the fastest street car in the country right now, in my eyes, is Larry Larson.
Well, I bet we'll never see him on that TV show.
Oh, no.
The producers ain't going to call him up and say, come over here and beat on one of our boys' asses, that's for sure.
Melvin, did you see that video that BET put up when Daddy Dave was down in Holly Springs?
No, I didn't see that one. I heard about it. I didn't look at it, though. I can go back
Man,
and find
I, it. I thought Mark was going to jump out of his skin into theirs. He was that crazy. I was watching the video getting nervous. They wanted to race right then and there. They said, this is a street car. It's not a track car. Finally, they agreed to go to the street. race never happened, never went down.
Yeah, well, how they said that he stiffed his way out of it, didn't he?
Sure did. He said, take it to the streets, and they said, okay. And he had to bow down to 901 Bad Boys.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's just one of them things. You know, I loved watching Drag Week. That's the one thing, when I watched it on the live feed when they were in Vegas. Was it last year or 2 years ago? I think it was last year. You know, when you see these guys driving these cars on, you know, on the roads, it's so cool. Lutz was driving his 57, had a trailer hooked up to the back of it, little trailer hooked up to the back of his 57. He's driving down the road. See, that to me is the shit. You know, he's driving down, getting probably maybe 4 or 5 miles to the gallon, and he's gonna go make a 200-mile-an-hour pass in the quarter mile.
But, man, you know what type of technology they got in them cars?
Oh, dude.
That's like
brain surgery.
Imagine how much one of those cars costs.
It's still impressive. It's beyond impressive.
Dude, I can't even count that high, Melvin. I can't even count that high.
You know, I mean, and look, let's just play with their fuel system. You know, while they're cruising down the road, getting that 5 miles to the gallon, they only got one set of injectors working. Now when they get there to the test, they probably got 3 more set of injectors injecting fuel into the thing while it's making the pass to do 200 miles an hour.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
But I love watching that Drag Week stuff, man. I really do. That's just unbelievable. And like Chad said, man, next year, someone's going to crack a 5-second pass.
Boy, they have 6:16 now.
Yeah.
He ain't
that
far to go. Yeah, that's less than a couple of tenths right there. He's in there.
Yeah.
And that's a booster. That truck is boosted.
Yeah.
What you think they'll probably go back and do? Add another set of injectors and turn the boost up some more.
Heck yeah. I mean, God, did you see that thing leave? It even got a little sideways and still went 219.
Yeah, he was gone. I saw it. I saw the video of it. He was gone down through there.
See, I love seeing shit like that, man.
Hey,
drive
them landmarks.
Exactly.
Fucking land rocket shit.
Where are they going to be at next year?
Now, I'm not for sure where they probably hosted at next year.
Yeah, I wonder how hard
it is to get that live feed stuff hooked up, man.
No, listen. You go on the your computer,
mm-hmm.
and you download the live feed or live stream.
Right.
And when something comes on live stream, it sends you a text on your phone. So if it's a Formula One race, drag race, or whatever they're covering.
Yeah.
You'll get a text. I get up about 4:30 in the morning to watch the F1 races.
No. I'm wondering how much it is to get involved to do a live stream. You know, I'm talking about for the grudge thing. You know, say if they're in South Carolina or whatever, how much equipment and how much stuff will we need to, okay, let's go over here and live stream this whole grudge event. You know what I'm saying? Get
right.
it out there even
you know,
more for us.
You know who the best one to do for that is? Bang Shift.
Okay.
Now, Bang Shift has been out to Milan. They go out there for Nate's stuff.
Okay.
Does Nate still have his race out there in May or no?
You know, I don't know if he done that. I think he done that this year. I'm not for sure. I don't know.
Because bangshift.com, you go there, and those guys come out. They set up a camera half track. They have them set up on the starting lines in each lane. They come out there and set up the whole thing, and then you live watch it from there.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be something nice, you know, to have for all our grudge shows, you know. Not all of them, but, you know, like the major events, like the one they just had at Milan when they paid the $10,000 out, you know.
That's what I've been saying. I've been saying that for 2 years. I even told Jay Barnes, I think what the problem you may have is that people will stay home to watch it on a computer and you lose the gate. And they might have to make it like a pay-per-view or something.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't be looking at it. The pay-per-view part of it, if they actually paid for it like that, that would be, somebody would make some good money. But I don't know. I think the fans that go there to the track, they're just so loyal. They just like, you know, smelling it and being up against the noise, just like when Dion Forrest and all of them guys come to town. You know, I can sit here and watch it on TV, but it ain't nothing like hearing that damn nitro car go down through there, you know, and feeling
and
it. Yep.
Feeling that rumbling in your stomach.
But, I mean, you know, it would help out, you know, I mean, some type of way, you know, like guy way down in Louisiana or over in Florida or something like that, those people, they can't get to it. You know, they can just go, okay, let me go watch this grudge race this weekend or whatever, you know?
Yeah. No, it's a good thing, man. I love having my live stream, man. I do. I have it. And, like I said, I get alerted. And to have something like that for the grudge game, I think be bitching. You know, being out here in California and, you know, not being able to go to a lot of these shows, I would love to sit here and watch it for hours.
Right. You know?
Yeah.
I think that would take our grudge game to another level, too, you know?
I got a 21-inch screen, computer screen. I'd have a field day with that, watching that racing.
Yeah, that would be something nice, you know?
Yeah, it would. I think it would open up the floodgates, man. I think it would bring more awareness to the grudge racing.
And then on top of that, I think it would kind of bring more action too. You would think about it, because then now you got the guy sitting there thinking, I'm gonna be on TV here tonight. I got to whoop my man or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going on down here race anyway.
And then, you know, the good thing about us, too, it's got that little comment window. So when people are watching it, and it's kind of like on Facebook where it has, you know, your friends list.
Yeah.
Where every time somebody punches in, their name goes up on the little side. So you can put a little thing in there and start a thread. You know, I got 50 bucks on the car in the right lane.
There
you go.
You
know, you start...
I had thought about that too, you know, getting a fan hotline, you know, once we got the grudge racing all in order, you know, somebody that's over in Colorado that is following us, I want to bet on that guy, I want to bet on this guy, and he got a way he can bet sitting right there, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, we had some other big news tonight. Tyson dropped off.
Okay.
I wanted him to be in. To be listening in on.
Oh, okay.
I might have to save it to next week, but it's not about the racing or anything like that. It's a different direction, but still kind of the same thing. So it's all good. If they could do something, Melvin, man, that would be so freaking awesome. That would be, I mean, I don't know if it sounds selfish, but for me, all the way out here in California, I can watch the races in Detroit. I can watch them in, you know, all these tracks that we talk about. I get to see them now.
Yep.
You know, so that'd be way cool.
Yeah.
See everybody, don't know they're on camera, and then text them, I'm looking at your ass.
Yeah. It would be nice, man. You know, like I said, it'd just be another step in the direction that, you know, to make the game get bigger, that's all. I mean, because we really got something, you know what I'm saying? We still small stream, but if we keep on working on it and bringing it to the forefront, it can't do nothing but just get bigger and bigger, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. Oh, and I read your comment on my thread the other day, bitch. I was cracking up. That motherfucker, boy. He got nothing to say for 3 motherfucking weeks, then he puts that up.
You know, this is the days of our life. We got to have this stuff.
I, And I looked at it and I started laughing. And my wife says, what's so funny? I said, my boy Melvin in Detroit ain't got nothing to do today but fuck with me. That's what the problem is. He woke up this morning and said, I got to see if I can fuck with Taylor today. And then I post something. Oh, there it is. But, no, dude, I 2 years ago when we started all this stuff, when I got on here and stuff like that, you know, I knew about the grudge racing down south. I didn't know how big it was. And the only car I ever really heard of was the Gangster Boo.
Yeah.
I didn't really hear too much about Tony Bynes. But I think if no matter what kind of racing you're into or drag racing you're into, if you were into street racing, grudge racing, you heard of that car.
Yeah.
You know, now
it was almost like once these airways, once the shows and stuff came on, that's all we heard was the Gangsta Boo. You know, it came from Chicago. Ain't nobody going to beat the Gangsta Boo. The Gangsta Boo a bad car. The Gangsta Boo a bad car. And it was. It truly was. It was a bad car. I think the night that they messed it up, they all chose and they made a wrong decision on that tire size, and that tire just didn't like that car, and the car got away from them, and that ended it. Don't take but a split second to make a wrong decision driving or whatever with these cars, and it's over with, you know, fast as they run.
You know, Melvin, Mississippi Joe was on the show about 3 weeks ago, and we were talking about this exact same thing. And, you know, I don't want to say he got suckered, but I just told him, I said, you know, you got goaded into that race because you knew that car shouldn't be on 28. I said, I know you won't make that mistake twice.
And that's what grudge racing is all about. If I can stand here and figure out a way to take you out of your game, and I get you and I catch you, now I got a chance on beating you. And that's what they did. They took him out of his game. He still thought he could win, but he didn't realize they just took him away from what he really, really was doing. And when they took it away from him, that's what happened to him. He got stiffed into that, putting them little tires on that car, and it bit him. So you always got to race. You got to come to that race. You got to race your car the way you got your car set up. You can't let nobody tell you what to do with your car.
If my car's on bars, it's staying on bars. If I'm on a 29, it's staying on 29.
You stay on 29. That's it.
And that shit happens fast.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I've been in the wall. It happens fast.
Yeah.
So.
Ain't no rewind on the accident.
No, you
could push that button and rewind it and back it up. Oh, let's correct that and then turn around and do it again. It ain't none of that.
No, and you can replay it a million times in your head and what you could have done different, but the reality is it's done. It's over.
Yep. But I hope that hopefully, you know, them guys get it together, man. You know, they've been out for a while, you know.
Oh, the car's almost done.
Yeah, I like to see them, you know, return back to the game. I mean, it's done definitely stepped up since they've been gone now. I mean, there ain't no speed limit in this game we at. There's no speed limit at all, you know. So it's definitely
I think that Gangsta Boo was always a year ahead of everybody else, at least a year. And I think it's going to be that way when it comes out right now.
Well, like I said, just looking forward to seeing them back at the track with it, you know.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's always been one of my favorite cars, and you know what? And when he gets that thing back out, and we know he's got something locked up for sure somewhere, I think I'm going to take a trip down there, grab Chad, and say, hey, let's go watch this guy run.
Yeah.
This guy,
that's just... But see, there go your live feed right there. We got the live feed hooked up wherever he showed up at. That live feed will show it right back to you on your 20-inch screen. You can sit there with your popcorn and Pepsi. Oh, man.
I know, but you know what, though? But it goes right back to what you said, though, Melvin.
You want
to
smile
in
here.
I've got to feel that rumble in my stomach and watch that car take a pass.
There you go.
You know, and that's always been one of my favorite cars. And I'm not much of a G-body guy by no means. But I sure do like that car a lot. And, to me, Mississippi Joe is just, you know, it's like a one-of-a-kind kind of thing, you know. There's just mystique about that car.
Yeah, well, it was definitely going around beating up on everybody.
I think it still will when it comes out.
Yeah.
I think it still will. But I think he's going to work himself into it. I think he's just going to try people here, there.
Right.
And then attack. Because, you know, Joe, man, he's still top secret.
Yeah. But you know there's some cars in the game waiting on him to show up. His head is still on the block. You know how many of them want to take his head home and put it on their trophy, on their stand, don't you?
And being out for what, a year and a half?
Yeah.
Seems like they're all waiting for him.
They're all waiting on him.
They're waiting for the king to return.
Yep, to take his head off.
That's what I said, man. I gotta be there when that car runs. Chad, you there?
Yeah.
I was just telling Melvin that when Mississippi Joe gets his car done, we got to take a trip down and go watch that car run. That car is just something else, man. But no, I still think, man, that live feed is the way to go, man. The people who can't make it to the races can still be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
I forget who he's racing, but did you see on my Facebook White Cracker got a race locked in for this month with somebody with my old little green piece of shit.
Oh, he does?
Yep.
Yeah, you know, we haven't heard from anybody that I forgot who was on the show now that was waiting to see that car run.
The guys that had three cars ready for him and then flipped one over six times trying to be like him.
Yeah, I haven't heard back from anybody. I'm just wondering.
Would you call back if you talked all that shit and then took one of your cars out and the car you were talking shit about and made it down the track on a beautiful pass and then you flipped your shit? Would you call back? I wouldn't.
Yeah, man, I forgot who it was, too, but they had cars ready for him. And, well, car only made one pass down there, didn't it?
That car has only made one pass. Since it left my shop, it's only made one pass. And if anybody saw it, then they seen what it do. But that ain't nothing, because it was his first pass down the track in that car. So I gave him a real, real nice, conservative, soft, make it down a fucked up track pass tune-up to put in it.
And still put a decent number up.
Oh yeah, it was still riding, especially considering that nobody else could even make it down that side of the racetrack. And then that thing went fucking right down through there. You know, the one camera that was out about 60 to 70 feet watching it, you damn near broke your neck turning your head with the camera when it went by. So it's doing something.
So who you got on the big race, Tay? Between Chi-Town and Tony Bynes. Don J and Tony Bynes, who you taking?
You know what? I'm going with Don J.
Gonna take Don J.
Yeah.
That's a good bet.
I think Don J's on fire. I think Don J's got a good car. And not to take nothing away from Mr. Bynes.
Hey, just tell him the truth. Just tell him the truth. You mad because Tony Bynes didn't give us our race when we drove all the way out there? Just tell him the truth.
I'm mad because we're gonna fuck that car up. That's what I'm mad about. I'm still pissed because we were gonna fuck that car up and make that car the Uncola.
Tell the man the truth. We drove 4,000 fucking miles.
Right, I hate that man. I hate his cars
for free.
So you
I hate him.
So
I don't even know him, and I hate him.
You want his head cut off then, huh? By anybody.
Anybody.
I'm trying to be politically correct. I hope Donnie fucks his shit up.
Hey, I'm going to do like I'm going on mute. I got to take a shit.
No, seriously, I think that's going to be a really good race. But if I was to bet on it, I'm going with Donnie.
Okay.
Well, yeah, because if you bet on Tony Bynes, I'd have to fucking come and have a little chat with you.
Oh.
Okay. All right, Taylor, I'll put you in the private room, man. Go ahead and make your bet.
It's all good with Tony. He's a good dude. I mean, you know. It was funnier than shit.
Nobody get me wrong. I don't have any actual beef with Tony Bynes. I just know that if somebody drove 2,000 plus miles across country specifically to race me, it wouldn't matter if it was the day we had the race locked up or not the day we had the race locked up. I would give that man the first race.
Yeah, that is correct right there. You know, we both hit the same track. We should get out. I don't give a damn about the date or nothing, the time or none of that. If we both in here and they both crank up, hell, our first two passes down the drag strip should be the race.
Yep.
You know? Let's get it on. But, you know, those guys, man.
You know what?
Hey, you know, when that's what you're doing to make money, it makes sense to make sure that you make sound investments.
Yeah,
but at the same time, in you know, in a game like the Grudge game, you know, there comes certain stipulation, you know, certain times where you got to kind of put just the making money out of it and go with the respect part of it. And I mean, as much as I respect him on how much he gets down and you know how much he races and this and that, you know, it kind of felt like a slap in the face to me that I drove out 2,000 miles and we're both at the track, both our cars running, and he loads his shit up and leaves early.
Right. He should have raced you. He should have raced you.
You know what? I got to tell you, Melvin, when he pulled up it up there at the track in Lena, and he pulled the thing, he's got those three cars on the trailer. Everybody just crowded around the car, and he's standing on the trailer unlocking everything. And I worked my way to the front, and I'm like, oh, man. And he was looking at me. I go, I thought they were like naked white women or something on this trailer. What's everybody here looking at? He started laughing. He goes, you must be Tao. I said, was it the flip-flop that gave it away?
Yeah, it wasn't even warm out there, and you were still wearing flip flops. I know. I had a shirt on for a good part of the day, so I know it sure as hell wasn't that warm.
Well, we got to talk shit, boy. That's when we got into our groove.
Yeah,
we're gonna get the new pair made up out of some Goodyear slicks. We're gonna keep doing burnouts, and then we're gonna collect all of the rubber, and we're gonna mold it into your new pair. Send them out to see. Walk around the track with your Goodyear flip-flops on.
Hey, do you see the ones I sent out?
Just make sure you don't walk on the track with that VHT and on Goodyear slicks.
If he's stuck on it.
Hey, Melvin.
Yeah, go ahead.
Did you see the flip-flops I sent out for Sleepy?
Yeah, I was there. I saw them.
Okay, yep. Okay.
Yep. That's the one with can opener in it, ain't it?
That's right, baby.
That's all.
Laziest guy to show you the easiest way. All you need is the cooler right next to you. Pop off a cap. Have a nice day.
There you go. Yeah, but that's probably one of our biggest races that's coming up, them two guys right there, just to see who's going to win, you know?
Yeah.
Is there a Grudge Inc. race in Phoenix City this month?
You know, that's a good question.
I'm just saying because the race that White Cracker got locked in, I know it's at Phoenix City and it's this month.
Okay.
So I was just wondering if because I know he's super tight with Grudge Inc. too, so I was wondering if he was doing it a Grudge Inc. racer. But I know he's been kind of promoting it on Facebook and stuff to try and get more people to come out. So I figure it might not be a Grudge Inc. race if he's having to promote it on his Facebook and such.
Okay.
You know who I haven't heard a lot about lately? Oh, wait a minute. I just got confused. It was the white boys that went at the small block PD.
Oh yeah, that was
White Cracker.
That very shouldn't have happened. That shouldn't have happened. And you know, I mean, I like both of those camps and everything like that. But he should have known. To me, as much as we've been in this Grudge game for the few years, you know, that it's been going on, that we don't do class cars in there, and for him to put that class car in there, knowing what he was getting involved in, he shouldn't have done that. As a racer, he shouldn't have came into the Grudge game and done that. Period. He know he'd been posting time with that
Biz
car.
Biz came in and explained all that.
Yeah.
And they knew. The white boys knew that was a class car.
But
they didn't care.
But the thing about that's just like a slap in the face to the Grudge game. We sit here and we preach on all these shows. We don't want no class cars. They know that. And then to turn around and do a race like that with a belt involved in it, and you got a car here that's done showed his times, come on. Well, I mean, we just can't, you know, say one thing and turn around and do another.
But Melvin, we just did this argument earlier tonight.
As far as the racers are concerned, I mean, if you're a Grudge racer and you're willing to race a class car, all you're doing is fucking yourself.
Because now everybody knows how
to do it. You're not fucking it up for anybody else. You're fucking yourself up. Because you're racing a class car. Go ahead.
Here's the thing, like I told Biz. Now, Big Low raced the Gangster Boo, and his car turned the lights on.
Big Low.
So, and this is what I told Biz.
That was before they came out with the rule.
Oh, so now they came out with the rule.
Yeah, the rule just got into play probably, I'm saying, the end of last year, the first of this year. No class cars allowed in the racing, you know, if you didn't show your times and all of that stuff. Now, they didn't have any of those rules in when the Gangsta Boo was around. You didn't even hear any of that.
Like what I was just trying to say is, I mean, besides fucking over yourself by racing a class car, because everybody knows what that class car runs, who are you hurting?
Yeah, he hurt himself because you just put your time up there and it's slower because my man just beat you.
Just the fact, like let's say you wanna race somebody that runs X275, and they're known for running 470s, 460s on a 275 radio, and you got them on a 10.5 slick, and you're willing to race them head up.
You basically telling how fast you carry.
That tells me right there you got a 430, 420 car. So I mean, but at the end of the day, all you're doing is fucking yourself out of money.
Yeah.
You're not really fucking it up for anybody else. You're fucking up your own money.
But then at the same time, you got to look at too all of those cars that the white boys done beat.
you know what I'm saying, and knocked out and did this to him and did that to him, that almost, you know, it kind of like spreads it across the board, because all of those cars that just got knocked off by him, okay, well, we know that car don't run this fast. You know, it kind of just spoils the game to have it like that. You know, they should just keep, if we done started this game like this, we should just keep it like this. You know what I'm saying? If we're going to just flip back and forth, then we just all might as well go down to the class race till the guy don't turn the clock on. Let's just race, you know?
I can understand, like, if a car came, let's say the white boys just lost, you know, they made a clean pass, and let's say they just lost to somebody else, and then they go out and they race a class racer that is known for running whatever 5.0, 4.90, and they beat that class racer. Now I see where it shows, okay, well, obviously they just beat this class racer that goes 4.90s. Mm-hmm. And they got beat by this other guy over here the other week. So obviously that guy must be going 4.80s, 4.70s.
See?
Like that's where I could see it getting fucked up.
So let me ask this question. Here's a question I got for you, Melvin, because I put all this stuff to Biz. Biz is in the hot seat. So what do you call shootouts then? Isn't that class racing?
To me, because you, here at Milan, they get the same, just about every week, the same 8 cars, okay? So you got the same 8 cars racing every week, and at the end of the results, you got the same guy winning the race.
What's the difference in a shootout car and a grudge car?
Well, they don't show any times. You don't know how fast the car is actually running.
But you still know who's faster than who, and then judging on who has been willing to grudge race who, you can still get an approximation on.
Right.
I mean, you
already
know.
Here's where I'm going with
this. If we got that shootout going on right now and put the white boys in there and the white boys win the shootout, then what does that mean? We know all of those cars are slower because of how fast that boy he just ran over there that was a class car. So
not
it's like
necessarily true.
I mean, here's the deal. I'll put it to you like this. I mean, this is, I think, the easiest way to explain it, period. I'm really new to, I mean, not really new, but, you know, I'm relatively new to the actual grudge game and Grudge Inc. and shit like that. Like, I'm new to that shit. When I came on the show a year and a half, almost 2 years ago, and some people sicked White Cracker on me, and, you know, they were trying to get me to race White Cracker and this and that.
Sick.
I traveled. I went out. You know, I didn't have anybody with me. I drove by my fucking self. No crew, no nothing. I took my truck, my trailer, my race car from here to Lena, Mississippi, or to Macon, Georgia, for the final hit race 2 years ago.
Right.
As soon as I hit Alabama, and I talked to one friend that I'd never met before in my life, met him through Facebook, and was planning on staying at his house just through Facebook. As soon as I got into Alabama, we talked to a couple other people. Within 5 hours, I knew how fast White Cracker was, and I knew that the car that I had at that time could not fuck with him. What's really the difference between running? I mean, you know when you see a car going down the track. You know, if you have any kind of an eye, you know when you see a car going down the track within 2 to 3 tenths, you know what that car runs just by watching it go down the track. So what does it really matter if it runs a class car? Because here's the whole thing about class cars. My old car was an Outlaw 8.5 car. Everybody knows the times that it put up on 8.5s. All they can do is speculate as to what times it will put up on a 10.5 or whatever tire he's got on it right now.
and with whatever nitrous tune-up he's got in it right now. Because obviously, on an 8.5-inch tire, I'm not going to be able to use as much. If you look at the rules on an 8.5-inch tire, I had to be 3,200 pounds driving that car to make those times. So there's still so much more speculation that has to go in to what the car will actually run, you know, wide open, all out. I mean, look at Jed Coughlin's car at Pro Mod weight and all that stuff, running, you know, 580s, 570s. I mean, what do you think he'd be able to do if he was able to take all the weight out of it and put bars on it and do all this other shit that you're not allowed to do in class racing? You can get a decent idea of how fast a class car is. You know, and you can go off the numbers of what a class car puts out, you know, puts up. Let's say, you know, the class car putting up 440s, 450s. But you don't know if he's going to remove weight when he puts it on a bigger tire, or add weight and put it on a smaller tire, or add nitrous, or add boost, or take away, or, you know, what they're going to have to do to get that car to still work. Because when you set up a car to work in a class, it's really the only way that car works.
Well, then, okay, with that being said, would this bring more to the game? Let's just race all the cars together, then. Don't make no difference. If I want to run you, I don't care if you got a class car or whatever. So we should just mix it all up to bring more action to the game?
Mixing it up?
If people are willing to bet, if both sides are willing to bet, I mean, what should it really matter if I've got a car that put up a 390, you know, let's just, you know, Outlaw Pro Mod, whatever. I've got a car that put up 390, and you're willing to race me. What does that say? It says you got a 390 car. And, I mean, let's just face the facts. Like I said already, you can watch a car go down the track, and you can guess within a couple of tenths of how fast that car is. If you can't, you got no business grudge racing, and you got no business street racing, because all you're going to do is lose your money.
You know,
well,
Mel,
that's what, but that's what the guy is looking for, this racing. He just want to win some money. So if you're going to pull up and want to bet, you don't make no difference.
But,
yeah.
Melvin, at the same time, though, you've been racing long enough to know. If you got that Monza and that car had to weigh 3,200 pounds to race in a class, and you were competitive in the class with the 3,200 pounds, you know what happens when you take that weight out to run what the car weighs.
It's going to run faster.
Exactly.
Maybe.
So my thing.
Maybe. No, tail. Yeah, that's where there's a maybe in the equation.
I'll tell you this right now, Tails.
The fastest pass I ever made in my car on 8.5s was the heaviest I ever had the car.
Well, no, I understand that. No, I get that. But you also tuned for your car being heavy. I'm saying in Melvin's case, That car is less than 3,200 pounds, so it's set up to run that way without the weight. But what here's the point that I was getting at.
What I'm saying is that at 3,000 pounds, at 3,000 pounds on the same tire, and at 3,200 pounds on the same tire, I have physically, literally, in every way, shape, and form, ran faster at 3,200 pounds, quicker and faster at 3,200 pounds than I have at 3,000.
Yeah, there's something about that car, because even when Rob had it, that thing was shit on the bottom end, but it would put up numbers on the other end when it would got rolling. I don't know.
Yeah.
But here's what I was saying. When I see a class car running, I automatically think that car's got 3/10 in the tank, because no matter where that car goes, especially out here with the different elevations we race, he's got to be going at least 3/10 faster than what the index is that he's got to run, so he can run that index anywhere he wants
at the right track.
Right. So if I'm racing a class car, and I got a grudge car, and I think our cars are the same, I know he's got something in the tank if I've already seen what number he's posted.
Yeah.
So whatever number he posted, I'm giving him 3/10. Then I have to ask myself, can I beat that car with those 3/10? And if I think I can, then you lock in. But at the same time, what happens is you burn your car if you beat that car. But you're beating that class car.
And that's your choice. That's your choice to lock in a race with a class car.
But what I'm saying is, though, let's say that car, that class car, is running 8 mile. Let's say it's running 850s. Let's go 550s. We'll run an 8 mile time. It's going 550.
Yeah.
My car's going 540s. Now, I know he's got more in the tank because when we grudge race, it's a different thing. Now, if I lose to him, knowing his car, thinking in my mind his car is 3/10 quicker, I may get more action now because somebody might want to hit me up because they know how fast that car goes in the class, and that's how fast they think it's running. So I might
Huckleberry. Yeah, I mean, no, and then the other thing is too, is you got to realize is here's where class racers actually have a disadvantage to grudge racers. Grudge racers are 100% used to putting their shit on kill every pass and making it work given the granted track conditions.
Yep.
Class racers never put their shit on kill. They put a tune-up in it that will compete with the class.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
That's a double-edged sword. It's a double-edged sword when you put your car on kill. You can, you know, a grudge racer that's used to putting his car on kill knows how his car is going to react and knows what it's going to do. A class racer that never puts his car on kill and then finally puts it on kill is going to do what a class racer does when they blow off the tires and get out of it. Where
right.
A grudge racer is used to blowing off the tires, is used to having their shit on kill, is used to going sideways. A class racer knows as soon as you fucking blow the tires off and you get a little bit sideways, your pass is done. You're not putting down a number. You're not doing shit. Give up. That's the class racer mentality, where the grudge racer could pedal that motherfucker 18 times going down the track and grab 14 different units and not give a shit because that's what they're used to doing.
Right.
So,
I agree, it is
really kind of a double-edged sword. I really do think, honestly, that the class racer will, you know, your normal, like, let's say your regular class racer that pretty much only class races and then every now and then says, oh, fuck it, I'm going to do a grudge race. When shit goes hinky at the line or whatever, you know, they're not going to know what to do. And they're going to lift. They're going to try and put too much to it, thinking, oh, well, you know, I did this or I did, you know, I got 200 pounds less weight, so I can fucking hit it harder and I can do this and that. And it's really going to end up fucking their game up. Whereas if they would have just stayed pretty much in class trim, they would have been a lot better off.
Yeah, I mean, I can see both sides of it because you don't want to, you know what happened to me when I had a vet, and it was the perfect street car. It ran in the tens, drove it to work, drove it everywhere, pumped gas, and I was hustling the car, racing. These guys were putting their little superchargers on their Mustangs and beating them, and the Adam Baez, they locked me into a race with Adam Baez. So I talked to this guy. He gave me two in the move. And this Corvette, honest to God, would leave on steel plates. It didn't care.
Yeah.
So I rolled this dude up. He saw my car run, or somebody told him what my car ran up at Palmdale, and it was going 1190s up there, because I didn't have a roll bar in the car, so I was pedaling to stay in the 12 so I wouldn't get booted off the track. So that's what they saw. The guy gives me the two cars. From what I understand on the nitrous, this car was like a 980 car. And I got a couple cars from him. I beat him. Beat him bad. But what I did was I burned my vet. I got one more race with that vet, and that was it. It never got another race. And I was, shame on me. So that was my experience racing a class car. So I get it. I totally get it. Go ahead, Mel.
No, I was just saying, just got to keep it, what our rules that we got in the grudge game, that's all. I understand.
Yeah, no, I mean, if you guys have made it known and that's the rules where you cannot race, you can't be a grudge car and be an advertised grudge car and go out and race cars that have lit up the scoreboard, then guess what? That's just the rule. If you want to be in the grudge game and you want to be, a known racer in the grudge game, then that's just one of the rules you got to abide by.
Yeah.
But here's something.
They just broke the rules, that's all.
Here's something that Biz said, and I just thought of now, and I should have asked the question when he was on the phone. Biz said that if you are a class racer and your cars turn the lights on at the end, and all of a sudden you want a grudge race, you got to wait a year before you can race for a belt. Not before you can grudge race, but race for a belt.
Yes, race for the belt, right.
So let's say I'm going to start grudge racing the car. Well, just because I'm not racing for a belt, isn't it the same thing? I mean, Melvin, if I got a grudge car, a class car, and now I'm going to make it a grudge car, I can't race for 1 year for a belt because, it was a class car. But I can keep racing grudge. I can go to grudge races. I can't get into any shootout, but I can keep going to grudge races and locking in with people.
You can basically do both sides of the table, actually.
what's the difference? I mean, it doesn't make sense to me because here I am grudge racing my car, even though it's a class racing, but I can't race for a belt, but I can grudge race. So I'm burning somebody down if I'm grudge racing.
At the end of the day, the grudge game is about making money and being the baddest motherfucker and being the baddest at your hustle.
The best hustle.
So, I mean, it really shouldn't matter. I mean, come on, let's face it. Like, if I didn't think, Tony Bynes never put up a number. My car is not that fast. Just by judging by what that 7-Up car did down the track, I knew, I got a fucking shot.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't need him to be a class racer. I didn't even need nothing. And I mean, if somebody comes into the game, they're willing to, put up the money to race, then, I mean, really, what difference does it make? Everybody already knows what times everybody runs. And, I mean, I'm gonna put it like this. Until the tracks agree that when they're doing grudge racing, they turn the clocks completely off. I'm talking not even the driver of the car any fucking idea how fast they went. They don't know what they 60-footed. They don't know what they 330. They don't know what they 660. They don't know anything. Until that happens, everybody's times are available for a price.
Yeah, that's what's scary about going to a lot of tracks. Once you leave there, whatever is going on there, know how fast all the cars are going on there,
Now,
so, and,
Melvin.
Until the tracks are only willing to have
a starting line light, you know, just to make sure that nobody leaves early, and a wind light. Everybody already knows what everybody runs. You yeah. know just as well as I know that it's just that easy to find out what somebody runs.
Yeah, yeah, you're right about that. You're definitely right about that. And if it was done like that, it would almost turn it back into street racing. But we just had a legal sanctioned place where we ain't got to worry about the police.
Which is what the grudge game is all fucking about. It's about having legal street racing.
Legal street racing.
I mean, and that's what it's supposed to be. And you know, if you really want to get it to the roots and get the the class racers and all that shit out of it, and take away all the mystery and all the everything, that's really what has to happen. Promoters have to talk to the track owners and get it to where even the people in the tower don't know what the cars are running.
No.
Because if one person knows what the car runs, 50
Somebody
people know what the car ran.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, Melvin, not to pick on Mylan, but, that's like your second home. Would you have problems going into the box there and sitting and watching from the booth?
No, I wouldn't want to be in the booth.
But I mean, as though if you wanted to sit up there and just watch from up there in the starting line just to have an elevated seat, they wouldn't say, oh, no, Melvin, you got to stand out.
No, they wouldn't say it.
So not that you would or anything. I'm just saying that just because that's what he's saying is like, if one person knows, 50 people know, and I'm just gonna say this, I could be wrong, but I bet you the people, I bet you Detroit knows how fast those cars are from Chicago.
Oh yeah. They know how fast everybody jumps in down their track.
Yeah.
It's just like with street racing. It's just like with street racing. Taylor, you've been around street racing long enough. I bet you got a radar gun in your garage, don't you?
Quiet in the back seat of the car, maybe. Yes, I do.
I know I got one.
I got one. My excuse for my radar gun is because I coach high school baseball. So, yeah. I use it when I go see pitchers. I put them on the radar gun.
Yeah, sure. keep telling yourself that.
That's what I tell people.
It's simple. No matter what, if a time is available, feed is available, if anything is available, people are going to do the work to find it out.
Yeah, because they gamble. They want to know they can
all
win.
That's all there is to it. When money is on the line, it's just like if you're gonna invest in a new startup company or something like that, you're gonna do your research and you're gonna make sure that you're making a good investment. And that's all racing for money is. It's an investment. It's a gamble and it's an investment.
I agree, man.
But I mean, like I said, as far as my ideas on class cars in grudge racing, obviously, my ideas are different than other people's ideas because I come from an area where grudge racing is shit and people don't do it. And street racing is honestly, for the most part, besides Kelly and Gypsy Mike and Bodie, a bunch of fucking pussies. So, I mean, that shit doesn't even go down once you start to get a name for yourself and get a fast car. So I have no choice but to class race my cars because of the area that I'm in. But right. If I want to go out and I want to grudge race somebody, I'm at the disadvantage because I'm going to a track that I don't know and I'm racing somebody that I really don't know how fast they are. I can make an educated guess, but that's about all there is to it. And then the same goes with people trying to judge you know, how fast that car is off of me racing them. You know, let's say my new twin turbo car, I'm just going to throw out a fucking random ass number. Let's say my new twin turbo car is capable of 470s. And then I race, you know, I race a grudge car. Does that, and I beat it. Does that mean that I was on a 470 pass? Absolutely fucking not.
And that's what I was saying.
There's nothing to say that my car was on a good pass, you know, and was making, you know, that magic 470 pass that my car made that one time at that really good track at that really good event. You know, I've seen plenty of cars that can go 450s, 440s, that have been 450s and 440s. I've seen going 560s when I'm going 540 in my car that's